fighting gobblers, the ones who wear the funny turkey hats and plant tasteless turkey sculptures all over town. We are not the stuff of massacres. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill, the House is expected to vote today on a $100 billion war appropriations bill. The measure contains an October 1st deadline to bring the troops home. The president has vowed to veto any bill containing a timetable for troop withdrawal. Congressional committees are stepping up their investigation of the Bush administration today. The House Oversight Committee approved a subpoena for Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Rice, who was President Bush's National Security Advisor in 2003, is being subpoenaed to find out what she knew about key elements in the invasion of Iraq. The House committee also granted immunity to a former top aide to U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Senators from both parties continue their investigation into the Attorney General's involvement in the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. The senators, including Arlen Specter, have written Gonzalez, pushing him to respond to many of the more than 70 questions he declined to answer during last week's hearing before the Judiciary Committee. Senator John McCain has officially announced his candidacy for president. In a speech from New Hampshire, the Arizona Republican and Vietnam POW says he is running for president to protect the country and keep it strong. If elected, the 70-year-old McCain would be America's oldest first-term president. White House Press Secretary Tony Snow will return to work on Monday. Snow, who is being treated for cancer, has been away from his job for several weeks. Hitting a new record today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed past 13,000 as strong earnings reports rolled in from some of the country's biggest companies. The boost is a sign that American corporations remain healthy despite a cooling economy. Wall Street numbers later in our business section. A former Alaska congressional aide has become the 11th person to be convicted on federal charges in the Jack Abramoff scandal. The aide has pleaded guilty to accepting gifts worth tens of thousands of dollars from lobbyist Abramoff in exchange for privileged information about the Homeland Security Department. The UN says it is unable to furnish its usual report on civilian casualties in Iraq because the Iraqi government is withholding the information. According to the Iraqi government, the delay is due to a change in data collection methods and not due to politics. Last night, a tornado ripped through the border town of Eagle Pass, Texas, killing 7 in the U.S. and 3 in Mexico. The same storm system also brought tornadoes to Colorado and Oklahoma and flooding across parts of Iowa and Nebraska. You're listening to the Quality News Network, science and business news coming up next.
This is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Orbital Sciences Pegasus XL launch vehicle launched today from its Stargazer's carrier aircraft. The three-stage Pegasus deployed the AIM spacecraft following takeoff from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. The launch vehicle is commonly used by national and international customers to deploy satellites weighing up to 1,000 pounds. 20 African nations are trying to save the continent's elephants from possible extinction. Representatives from the nations are calling for a 20-year ban on ivory trade and currently are touring Europe to secure backing from the EU. Federal investigators say hog farms in 6 states were sent contaminated pet food as pet pig feed. Authorities say they are unclear whether the hogs, which consumed the poisoned feed, have entered the human food supply. The FDA says some pigs have tested positive for the poison in California and the Carolinas. Walmart announced it will open medical clinics in as many as 400 of its stores within the next 2 to 3 years. The world's largest retailer already operates 76 clinics in a dozen states. Existing home sales in March fell nearly 8.5%. That's the steepest decline since 1989. Light sweet crude is trading at $65.84. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 136 points, the NASDAQ up 24, and the S&P 500 up 15. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! For incense, we have a Puros Indios Pyramid. A blend of Honduran and Ecuadorian, Honduran and Nicaraguan fillers with a binder of uncertain parentage and a wrapper from Ecuador. It is lovely. It is filling the studio with fragrant smoke. For our communion wine, we have 100-proof bottled in bond Western Pennsylvania style rye whiskey. And the communion wafers are just saltines. Yes, Agnes?
We have Tang.
She's trying to make you feel better. And, of course, you know why.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Dang straight, the Cathedral of Common Sense is open for business. And I am Brother Bob Kincaid. You are welcome at the altar. Put your hands upon your radio speakers and feel the power of the subwoofer blowing through you. Yes, brethren and sistren, it's prayer meeting night at Head On. Where to start? A week ago, a gang of religious bigoted thugs in Washington, the Supreme Court of the United States, decided to take us backwards toward the Dark Ages in a ruling having to do with whether or not women are free to seek medical treatment when they need it. Yes! Hallelujah. And lo and behold, it turns out that while the United States is backing into the Dark Ages, Mexico City is finally crawling out of them. Because Mexico City has announced that it will move to legalize women's health rights in that great monumental metropolis. In other words, a poor woman with an unwanted, accidental, disastrous pregnancy in Texas has a better shot at being able to attend to her health needs in Mexico City than she will in Dallas. And you wonder why sometimes I refer to the United States of America, my country, as this once great nation. Is it any wonder? I can't imagine that it would be. But I find it very interesting And maybe one thing follows from another. This is prayer meeting night, so it's only fitting to mention this story. It turns out, and this is one of those cases of the guys in the lace dresses and the House of Whoville hats just making more crap up. The church declared this week that there's no limbo. Now, that just sets itself up for a million cheap, tawdry jokes like, you know, yes, there is. I saw my kids playing limbo on the on the school playground just the other day. No. Limbo. You know limbo. Limbo, where little unbaptized babies go. Because the viciousness of the church had declared over the course of the last 1,000 or 2 years that unbaptized babies weren't innocent enough to get into heaven and hang out with all the forgiven sinners. Right? Yeah. In a long-awaited document, the church's International Theological Commission said limbo reflected an, quote, unduly restrictive view of salvation. I better not read much more of this, or Agnes will be squirting tang out of her nose. I mean, there's some really, really, really good mythology in this story. Pope Benedict, himself a top theologian who before his election in 2005 expressed doubts about limbo. Jesus, doubts about limbo. The verdict that limbo could now rest in peace had been expected for years. The document was seen as most likely the final word, since limbo was never part of church doctrine, even though it was taught to Catholics well into the 20th century. In addition, the document also answers the question with the answer 42. That, in fact, is the number of angels who can do the sacred boogaloo on the head of a pin while wearing a hair shirt. This is a quote from this stupid, stupid document. Can you imagine an organization that is so cruel, so miserable, so hateful that it declares that unbaptized babies have to suffer in a place that's not heaven and not hell? They're just sort of bobbing along in a sea of unflavored Knox gelatin or something? The conclusion of this study is that there are theological and liturgical reasons to hope, just hope, that infants who die without baptism may be saved and brought into eternal happiness, even if there is not an explicit teaching on this question found in Revelation. There are reasons to hope that God will save these infants precisely because it was not possible to baptize them.
What? Edith? What?
The church teaches that baptism removes original sin, which stains all souls since the fall from grace in the Garden of Eden, when they're a bunch of crap. Who would worship a God that is so vile, rotten, and mean as to take a dump on a baby that was born and unbaptized? Off to hell with you! But these things do kind of dovetail, don't they? Because if you stop to think about it, the church's whole stance on abortion makes no sense in relation to their stance on salvation. You're murdering unborn babies! Oh my God! Well, what it boils down to is they're scared to death that if people start actually planning and maintaining their families, church income will go down. And they need, trust me, they need the money because they got a lot of judgments to pay off for all those priests who raped all those little kids. So now Mexico City is going to legalize women's rights to attend to their own health care needs. And what's going on? Why, that's right. Religious groups are howling. because there aren't enough babies in Mexico? Religious groups are screwed. We're going to appeal it to the Mexican Supreme Court. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, I don't have enough Spanish to do the real Spanish for that. And yet their own church has come out and said, look, they go to heaven. They just, poof, they go to heaven. And next thing you know, they got a little wing and a little mandolin, you know. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life, you know. You know, if these people would just pick a position and stay with it, it would be all right with me. Babies, you know, because, I mean, what are they worried about?
Life begins at conception.
You ever see Meatwad on Aqua Teen Hunger Force? Heaven must be full of Meatwad. Little dudes walking around because, you know, because they got, I mean, it says here that they go to heaven. Some of them even been baptized in saline. Ooh, Bob, mean. People find it increasingly difficult to accept that God is just and merciful if he excludes infants who have no personal sins from eternal happiness, whether they are Christian or non-Christian, the document said. Woo! Yeah, increasingly difficult. Yep, since about the 10th century. You know, the 15th century, whenever it was that the church stopped burning everybody who asked a question. In writings before his election as Pope in 2005, former Nazi anti-aircraft gunner Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, emphasis on the word rat, made it clear he believed the concept of limbo should be abandoned because it was, quote, only a theological hypothesis and never a defined truth of faith. Truth, faith, disconnect. In the Divine Comedy, Dante placed virtuous pagans and great classical philosophers, including Plato and Socrates, in limbo. Forever trying to get under the bar, listening to the beautiful steel drum music. So I guess it's not just babies, it's Plato and it's Socrates and Noah and Abraham and all kinds of people that were born before like 33 AD or whatever. Must be quite a line up at the Pearlies. I mean, am I the only one that this just sounds inimitably stupid to? Nothing about it in the Bible, but they've trucked along and gotten offerings and made money at the altar and had people bolstered an entire candle industry on just made up stuff. Just a bunch of made up crap. And, you know, here, and so even in the face of this, a clear statement from the church that, you know, we hope that God will save the sinless babies. The superstition freaks in Mexico who are more concerned with controlling a woman's insides than they are with dealing with the manifest problems of the Mexican nation are going to run to the court to try to keep women from being able to manage their own insides. When the church has already said that if they go and they get the thing, and the little fetus goes to heaven. I mean, am I the only one that sees a disconnect in all this foolishness? Cheapers. So that's where we begin tonight with prayer meeting. You bring in anything you want to. Now we've got some other more secular, shall we say, things to concern ourselves with. And you know, by the way, I'm sure the anti-abortion goobers in the United States will flip out about the Mexico City decision too. Now, the day after they flip out about Mexico City abortions, they will, of course, be somewhere complaining about brown people who are, you know, scrubbing toilets in San Diego or San Antonio or where the hell ever. These right-wing freaks cannot have their cake and eat it too. I will not tolerate it. Either support meaningful family planning in Mexico, or for God's sakes, quit bitching about the detritus of the Mexican population coming to the United States to work in jobs to which they have been lured by American corporations. One or the other, not both, can't have it both ways. But then again, these people believe that angels do the tap dance on pinheads, so, you know, getting through to them is not going to be real easy. Let's take a break. When we come back, your phone calls, by golly, if you want them. 877-443-2366 is the toll-free number. On your nickel, it's 304-658-5453. This is America's liberal voice. This is the horn. I am Brother Bob. Hallelujah.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
24 and a half minutes after the hour. Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm Bob Kincaid. And a quick email flew in reminding me, no, Bob, no mandolins in heaven. They want the angels, even the young ones, playing in tune. Neither are there accordions in heaven either. I guess this lets out bazookies and that Arabic nose flute and that thing that Morticia Adams used to play on the Adams Family when she'd like stroke that god awful eighth off key chord and scream Karoo! Bigotry against mandolins. Brother Bill Monroe is going to have words with you, David. No mandolins in heaven. Pity's sake. Let's go to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good evening.
How are you?
Doing pretty good. Just listening to your evening of church. Some of these people that come up with this stuff about babies going into limbo and stuff, they sure read the Bible, didn't they? I mean, that's right in the Bible.
Yeah, except, not quite.
Except it says you're not doomed for to miss heaven until you reach the age of accountability and then do wrong. And accountability age differs with people.
And doctrines.
Yeah. So.
But, I mean, what kind of mean, rotten-spirited human being would come up with the idea of God turning his nose up at a pure and sinless baby?
Well, they're looking for the tithes, I reckon. You know, they're going to raise them. And the Pentecostals is worse the bunch to do that. I've seen them bring 5 and 6 year old kids, get them to the altar, scare them into it, and you know, say that they were saved now.
You know, Ed, I personally think that any person who would try to tell a 5-year-old child that they were a sinner should be taken outside and beaten senseless.
Well,
and it wouldn't be a sin to do that beating either.
No, it wouldn't, because you know you can get a kid to be a nervous wreck at that age. And it is so pitiful to see these. And, you know, the people that's preaching that stuff are these fence post preachers like we got in the Pentecostal movement. Believe me, you know, I went to them. I know that's why I'm not there now, is because I saw the nonsense, the self-proclaimed righteousness, like some of the typical Republicans.
Well, you know that divorce rates are higher among the fundamentalist sects, whether it's Pentecostals or Baptists or what have you, Church of God of Prophecy, Assemblies of God, whatever. The divorce rate is higher among those sects than the national average for divorce.
You know why? They make it so damn stiff that you can't live it. You know, we're still in the flesh, and the flesh is weak, and that's what's forgiveness for. Most of them go on lay. You don't need to pray because you're already okay. You're saved. So that puts a person in a position that if they would happen to do wrong, then that breaks their back. One wrong breaks their back. They don't preach that God is all forgiving. And that's what prayer is for. If it was, now you won't need no prayer in heaven. You've done made it home. But you're going to need it down here until you score.
Well, you know, I never cease to be amazed, Ed, by the meanness that is manifested by people who say that they're following the God of love. I mean, you talk about what you do to a child. Here's a perfect example. By his own admission, you know who James Dobson is, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Well, his daddy was one of these fence post preachers you were talking about. Now, when James Dobson was 3 years old, and I think I probably recounted this before, but it bears repeating. When little James Dobson was 3 years old, he was in church service where his daddy was preaching. And his daddy's hollering and hooting and screaming and rolling about and, you know, the carrying on that goes on with that bunch.
Uh-huh.
So agitated that poor little 3-year-old child that at the age of 3, by his own admission, he says he was overwhelmed by the realization of his sinful nature and went toddling at the age of 3, Ed, toddling down the aisle to confess his sins.
Yeah.
What kind of a sin is a 3-year-old capable of?
Well, I don't know of anything that they could possibly do wrong unless it'd be an accident.
Well, and that's probably part of it. He was probably potty trained at gunpoint.
Yeah, or that's what I was going to say. Or unless Daddy leaves a gun out and he accidentally shoots Mommy or something.
But those are all accidents. They're not sins.
Yeah, that's right. They're not accountable.
And because of the sickness of James Dobson's father and the torment that he implanted in that poor little three-year-old baby's brain, how many millions of Americans are suffering now under the weight of these fake Christians, these hypocrites, these faux followers of God, these demons on earth who direct our government and demand that we go and slaughter brown people 12,000 miles away? I mean, you know, when we throw a pebble into the middle of a pond, we don't see the pebble sink to the bottom, but we see the ripples go all the way to the bank, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you how, you know, I taught Sunday school when I went to church, and probably not too proud, because I didn't believe when I didn't agree with some of their philosophies. For one, speaking in tongues was a priority, and then some of them don't even believe you go to heaven unless you get that, which is a gift. I mean, you can't take it. You know, you can't take it from God. And I've seen one preacher try to teach them how to do that. And when somebody would speak in tongues, different ones of them, they had a little click or cult or whatever you want to call it.
They'd hop up and start translating.
Yeah, and they'd say, "Does your spirit verify that?" You know, they use that scripture where the spirit flows from breast to breast or whatever. And do you believe that they never once asked me, and I was recognized as one of the teachers, but they knew that I wasn't in that clique that believed that stuff.
Well, see, back when I was a young and smart alecky teenager, Ed, the whole bunch of us who did, you know, we were involved in the theater department in our high school and stuff, and we'd go to these churches and bust out in tongues just for the fun of it.
Well,
because it doesn't take a spirit. All it takes is a willingness to babble semi-coherently.
Yeah. Well, I saw two women sat in front of me. One of them's got a church now. One of the husbands of one of the women, there was a couple of them up in there going through that emotional bit of stomping and dancing and all that commotion that the Pentecostals go through, and they were absolutely sitting in front of me, and one looked at the other and said, "Let's get up there and get in on this." Yeah, I thought, what? I don't want to repeat what I thought then, because it wasn't very Christian-like. I thought, you know,
it was probably more Christian than you and I can even contemplate.
Two of them hogs, like it was two water buffaloes going after a donut. But they're pitiful. I'm telling you, I would ask any sane Christian to go, if they want to have a good time sometime, of watching how crazy people can do. They need to go watch them. Then they'll realize where their feet ought to be as a Christian person. And it ain't with all those emotional things and one guy running down the back of the pews, and his sister asked me, this is one of the same ones that said we'd get up there and get in on this. She said, "What do you think about that, Ed?" Because I must have been looking funny.
I bet.
I was watching him run down the back of the pews, and he didn't miss a lick. He was good at it. And I said, "You know what? I whipped my kids for doing that when they was little." I said, "That's what I think." "Oh, I'd be careful, Ed. You're walking on awful thin ice." I said, "Well, I've done that before, too." And, of course, that went straight to the preacher.
Yeah.
And they got...
Well, these are. You say click. I mean, they're cults, okay?
Yeah.
They are. They're cults. And most of them are. From the Southern Baptist Convention to the whoever's running the Assemblies of God to whoever's running the Pentecostals all the way to Rome. Okay, these are all cults.
Yeah. Well, especially, you know, I haven't dealt with any. I went to the Baptist church Sunday. I don't know what kind it was. My little granddaughter keeps on me about going, but I promise that the Lord will let me live and be another 100 years. I still won't go to a Pentecostal service. But I don't mean to pull off your church.
No. This is what Wednesday's for. This is prayer meeting, man.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean to pull off of the prayer meeting too much, but I was going to get your insight on all on these five subpoenas and how they're going to get around. Can they get around disobeying Congress on a subpoena? You know, they even got Condoleezza Rice and What's the Mexican's?
Monica Goodling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's another one. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. Can they get around them? Ed, you got to understand that at the end of the day, the final word on this is going to rest with a guy named Roberts, and a guy named Scalia, and a guy named Thomas, and a guy named Alito, and a guy named Kennedy. And odds are, the way those freaks are, because, you know, they don't, I'm talking about the Supreme Court, and they are freaks,
yeah.
Ed. They're true freaks. And they care not a whit for the law, less for the Constitution, and, they are up there to do political ideology and the ideological bidding of the Bush family, okay? At the very least, of the Republican Party.
Yeah, they can still take a fifth. I mean,
well, what'll happen is the subpoenas will be served, and then the Bush administration will go to court and they'll say, "Oh, this is all privileged information. There, the president can't get good advice if he can't have secret conversations with everybody." And so then the court battle begins, and it goes from the D.C. D.C. District Court to the D.C. Circuit Court up to the Supreme Court. And, you know, what, year and a half, 2 years from now?
Yeah, it won't matter anyway.
The freaks on the Supreme Court, who are, interestingly enough, almost a majority of them followers of this weirdness like I've been talking about and believe in things like limbo, those freaks will turn around and say, "Why, the president must maintain a separation of powers, and we cannot have a true separation of powers under the Constitution if Congress is allowed to constantly meddle in the affairs of the president."
Yeah, well, they're even accusing them of trying to run the war or tell the generals what to do, and that's just another way of saying we're going ahead with the war.
Well, last I checked, isn't the civilian government supposed to tell the generals what to do? I wasn't in the military, Ed, but you were.
Yep, that's where it comes from. Even though he's the supreme commander or commander-in-chief or whatever, and I don't call him that in this case, but whatever
he's the George Bush is the exalted noble pipsqueak.
Yeah. That's Daddy's little idiot. But anyway, I just wondered where it was going. You know, I know that the Fifth Amendment's there, and they're all the Republicans are on there right now hollering, "She's already answered these questions once. Why are we wasting her valuable time? Well, what does she do?"
Well, because we need to get her under oath this time.
That other woman, if they give her immunity...
She's got to sing.
Yeah, I believe it. But I just wanted to get an opinion.
Well, they're gonna fight this kicking and screaming because living with the rule of law is nothing that the Bush administration wants to do.
They're not used to that.
And frankly, given what Dennis Kucinich did yesterday evening, filing the articles of impeachment on Cheney, that might very well provide the impetus to start developing some evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, this is like a dam busting. It can start with a couple of drips, but the next thing you know, you're over your head.
Right.
And the Bush administration knows that, Ed.
If they can get one person to leaking, just like you said, the leak becomes a flood. But how about this thing I got going about Bin Laden plotting to?
Have you ever heard any? Oh my God.
I knew that was going to get a real...
I about had a spit hemorrhage this afternoon when I heard that, and I thought, they're shameless. They are shameless. They will play these. And I've said it before, Ed. See, you've given me a case of the blind stutters. I've said this before. They've only got a couple of plays in the book.
Yeah.
And so every time it starts getting hot for them, they haul out Bin Laden and flog him around a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on an interview with Al Qaeda number two with Al Jazeera. Yeah. Any dude can walk up to Al Jazeera. I'm Al Qaeda number two. Yeah. Yeah. Bin Laden did it.
Liz, I'd like to have a further conversation, but a guy just drove up in the driveway on a four-wheeler with golf clubs on them. I was going to look at them.
Hot diggity.
But I'll be calling back and listen anyway.
You do that, Ed. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
I hope the clubs are good.
Yeah, well, they're supposed to be. I'm going to take a look at them anyway.
Forged or cast?
Huh?
Forged or cast?
They're Big Berthas. I don't know. Those are probably...
Those are cast.
Yeah, huh?
So yeah, then, good clubs.
That'd be a good club.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, and thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for yours, Ed.
All righty.
You know, I had it on the list, and I didn't know how to address the issue of this Bin Laden thing. Oh, Bin Laden planned the attack in Afghanistan. I have never seen such a bedwetting frenzy in my life as seeing that come out on Fox News this afternoon. Yeah, I go, look, at this point, Fox News is like, you know, the comedy channel to me. I mean, it's simply amazing to watch. I know you, at some point, you know, just give yourself, it doesn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes, and you're not going to add to their ad revenues. God knows you're not going to buy anything they're advertising on Fox. But I just happened to scan across there, because it's like one channel away from the History Channel, and it's, you know, between the History, and Fox is in between the History Channel and MSNBC. And I saw this report about Bin Laden. Well, it now turns out that Bin Laden planned the attack, and he was trying to kill Dick Cheney. Well, if that's the case, then there's not much to Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda anymore, so we should be able to all go home, because they couldn't get within 2 miles of them. I mean, the extreme outer perimeter, you know, was where the bombs went off or whatever. But you see, isn't it interesting that that information came out on the same day or within the same 24-hour news cycle as Harry Reid saying he wasn't going to get in a pissing match with a guy who had a 9% approval rating? I mean, is it just me? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But, you know, hey, kid, get in by dark. Get in by dark, kids, or Bin Laden's going to get you. My high school German teacher, who was a post-World War II baby, told us one day that when they would stay out too late playing as dark came on, their mothers would threaten them and say, if you're not in by dark, Hitler might get you. Boogeyman, boogeyman, boogeyman. Bin Laden, the boogeyman, Iran, boogeyman, little dude in Korea with the platform shoes, boogeyman. We are boogeymaned up to our eyeballs. Let's go to the phone. Susan's been waiting. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. We've got a dilly of a conversation going via the comments after the post. On one of the posts that was up on the blog, the post is a Craigslist post from one very angry Marine, and I'm putting up between 4 and 8 comments a day. The writing quality is spectacular. So anybody listening, if you want to see some really good writing on a really, really good subject, go find the post and check it out. It's good.
What's the headline on the post there?
Headline is a Craigslist post from one very angry Marine.
And didn't they? They pulled that. I saw a link to that. And they pulled that at Craigslist.
They pulled it off of Craigslist, but I copied it before they had a chance to pull it.
Good for you. Well, you know, that's the beautiful thing about hanging out in the liberal progressive community, Susan. There's a lot of smart people out there, a lot of literate people, as opposed to, I mean, you ever been over to Free Republic and seen what passes for writing with them?
Yeah, well, if you could call it that. even the people who could be termed against the writer of this post, they're doing it politely, with one exception, and they're doing it with a great deal of very, very literate writing. The one exception, his comment was something about that explains why they shouldn't allow women in the military. He got ripped apart for that.
I can imagine.
Oh, yeah, she'd still be a widow. It, you know, it never did make sense. Anyway, the reason I called in is because I have a religious item for you.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
Come on down to the altar and share, Sister Susan.
Yeah, I shall. You recall that the Veterans Administration finally gave in and is going to allow Wiccans to have a pentagram on their headstones if they're buried in a national cemetery.
Yeah.
Yeehaw, we won our suit. Well, on HuffPost, if you go over there, there is a blog by Mark Oppenheimer called Fact Checking Wicca. Now, I have no problem with the content per se. He is right in that a large section of the world believes that Wicca, as it is configured today, people believe it to be developed in the early 20s from the writings of somebody named Gardner. Also, throw in a few writings from Crowley.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Necronomicon, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Anyway, the thing is, what gets me about this article is beyond his bemoaning the lack of religion writers, there is he says, finally taking Wiccan's claims at face value misses a chance to make an interesting point about religion, that religions can be valuable and even metaphysically true, even if some of their origin stories are myths. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all have patently absurd origin stories, and no wise, sane person accepts the literal truth of any of them.
Gossipy water moccasins.
Well, I don't know about you, but I've got three stepsons who believe profoundly in every comma, period, and word of the New Testament as it is set down.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I hate to admit it, but they are free birds. And what I find really, really ironic, you will never, ever see an article called Fact Checking the Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh, no.
See the light of day.
No. Well, although, in a way, though, isn't that what Dr. Ehrman's book is? Misquoting Jesus?
Yeah, but how many people in the, how many people have ever heard of it?
New York Times bestseller list, top 10. You know, I mean, there's some hope coming out of that book.
Yeah, but, you know, I have a feeling they buy that because they think, oh, they're exposing people, ruining our Bible, and then they find out that, oops, it's far from it. It's,
well, yeah. What do you
screwing it up?
The thing that I come back to again and again and again, Susan, is the comment that Dr. Ehrman made on the program, that, you know, he said he was raised in Episcopal, and then he became a fundy. And he went to Moody Bible Institute, for heaven's sakes. And
oh,
then
my
he,
word.
And then he went from there to some fundy school in Illinois, and then he was admitted to the doctoral program at Princeton, where the scales fell off his eyes.
Yeah.
And what the most profound thing I think he said in the conversation on this program, and for the folks who haven't read it who are interested in this kind of thing, you know, stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once and read this book, Misquoting Jesus. Probably the most impressive, important thing out of the whole book for just general lay readers to find out is, A, what Dr. Ehrman says about the fact that all these fundy preachers, the ones who have at least been to school, you know, and didn't, you know, get ordained by a hoot owl in the woods over a bottle of bad shine.
They're all in on a scam.
Right. They know, and they're just not letting the rubes in the pews know. Because,
yeah.
And I've checked it out with some Jewish friends, and I've verified it. When the New Testament talks about Jesus being born of a virgin, the word that it's the Old Testament scripture to which it refers, that refers to what they thought was virgin, the Hebrew word is Alma, and it just means little girl.
Yeah.
And I know I've mentioned it before, and people are probably tired of hearing me mention it, but somewhere along, I mean, can you imagine, how is a Southern Baptist going to deal with that? How is a Roman Catholic going to deal with that? It's not the Virgin Mary, it's the little girl Mary.
No, it's the pedophile. Jesus, I'm sorry, but if it's a little girl, he's a pedophile.
Well, you know, but I mean, but bear in mind, at the same time, that God was knocking up Mary, he had a God in the form, because the primary God at the time of Christ was Jupiter, who was, of course,
yeah,
a knockoff of Zeus.
Right.
And we all know that Zeus went around, he was a horn dog, and he went around knocking up little girls.
Yeah.
So that lent legitimacy to the myth.
Yeah, and let's face it, if he couldn't do it in one form, he'd change shape.
Lita and the Swan?
Yeah. You know, he couldn't do it one way, he'd do it
well, and that's what, and that's kind of what he did here, because didn't he use a, I don't know, I get a little bit lost, didn't he use an angel? Blessed art thou, Mary, the God has come upon you, or something like that.
I think so. But, you know, and it translates directly into early English literature in the Morte d'Arthur, because you have Merlin changing
Uther's shape so that he could get it on with Igraine.
Yeah, and then you have him changing Arthur's father.
Yeah, Uther.
Yeah, Uther, so that he can Shire Arthur.
Yeah, so he could get it on with Igraine. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going.
I know my Arthurian fantasy. I also know my Old Testament fantasy.
Yeah, and I read that when I was little, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, this sounds familiar.
Yeah, the whole thing is a.
Yeah, it's just recycled.
It's a send up. Yeah, it's a Jesus send up. There's a brilliant book out there. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that to the microphone. There's a brilliant book out there by Barbara Tuchman, the same lady who wrote The Guns of August and Mirror Darkly, something, things like that. And it's called The Bible and the Sword, and it's about the history of Britain's love affair with the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And she points out at, and, you know, she was quite the scholar, and points out at great readable length all the medieval literature that was generated in order to create a Britannic sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
that was a straight lift, you know, Bible here, you just lift it up, set it back down on the new template, boom, there you go, you got a national mythology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just
right down to Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah,
because after all, the Spaniards had Santiago, St. James, and you know, the French had, among others, Mary Magdalene, and a couple of others. So the English had to have somebody, so they cooked up Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah,
and he was the one who supposedly built the first monastery, whatever the Hoosis thingy that later on became the Tomb of Arthur.
Never mind, you can't find it.
Well, but you can find it. Oddly enough, they've done considerable excavation. Boy, are we a far afield now, but they've done considerable excavation there, and it turns out there was a fortress or compound, if you will, in that place at that time. So, you know, now granted, there's nothing there that says Joseph of Arimathea was here, you know, with a little nose hanging over the wall like, you know, Kilroy.
In Wales?
Oh, darn it, I know the name of this
or
place.
Or Southern England.
Yeah, Southern England.
Okay, yeah, because there's two mythologies. One has him in Southern England. And
Glastonbury Tor, I think, is what I'm
thinking. Yeah, okay. I've got the other one has Arthur's tomb in Wales.
I would prefer that it be in Wales. You know, but...
Well, you and me both, you know.
But that's, you know, that's just because I got a bunch
of... Celtic.
I got a bunch of Welshmen in my background, so...
Yeah, and the whole Celtic thing, you know. Anyway, I'm going to let you go.
All right. That was a fun little wander, Susan.
Hey, if you can't wander, what can you do?
You know, that's the fun thing. All these linear right wing talkers. If you've ever sat on the front porch with a bunch of old timers, you know that the conversation is anything but linear, and that's what makes it wonderful.
Oh yeah, you just kind of wander this way and that way,
and let life and interaction and conversation take you where it will.
Yeah.
Never know what you're going to find out.
You're right. Anyway, Brother Bob, you and Sister Agnes, have a great evening.
Sister Susan, blessed be.
Blessed be.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You know, that remains the... And most of, you know, we get images. We work with images in our minds, and that's the image I have for this program. It's a front porch. It's a great big front porch. John Fox and I used to talk about him getting his git fiddle out and coming up with some front porch music, and we'd add in some ambient sound effects of like boots walking on gravel and the sound of a rocking chair creaking back and forth. And one of these days we'll do it too, but one of the front porch Fridays, because the way the phone system is set up here, I can bring on up to 6 people at one time and have them all talking amongst themselves. And we need to explore that. See what happens. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that just be a blast? You know, get some of the folks who chat more than they talk on the air. They're on the front porch with us. Sit back, chime in when you feel like you need to. I mean, it's really cool. This is some high-tech stuff we got sitting here. It's what it's designed for. Might as well, you know, get the mileage out of it, don't you think? God, that sounds fun to me. But then again, I'm just a troublemaker.
That's right.
Because Agnes would be sitting over here growing extra arms trying to deal with all the button pushing.
All the voices in my head.
All the voices in your head. I know, dear. Some days it's not worth trying to chew through the straps, is it?
No.
So we've begun this prayer meeting edition. We've gotten through an hour of it. I've got some audio for you in the next hour, if I can possibly get around to it. You remember when we talked about Neil Bortz and asked, why is this man still on the air in the light of the Imus affair? Well, we're going to ask the same question again this evening, only this time we're asking it about a much bigger fish by the name of Limbaugh, who has, to say the least, done it again. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're in the Cathedral of Common Sense. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill, the House is expected to vote on a $100 billion war appropriations bill. The measure contains an October 1st deadline to bring U.S. troops home. If approved, it sets the stage for a historic showdown with the president, who has threatened to veto any bill containing a withdrawal timetable. The House Oversight Committee has approved a subpoena for Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Rice was President Bush's national security advisor in 2003. The committee will ask her about elements of the administration's justifications leading to the invasion of Iraq. The House committee also granted immunity to a former top aide to U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. In New Hampshire, Senator John McCain officially announced his candidacy for president. The Arizona Republican and former Vietnam POW says he's running for president to protect the country and keep it strong. If elected, the 70-year-old would be America's oldest first-term president. And hitting a new record today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed past 13,000. It did so on strong earnings reports as they rolled in from the country's biggest companies. Wall Street numbers later in our business section. The UN says it is unable to furnish its usual report on civilian casualties in Iraq because the Iraqi government's withholding the information. The Iraqi government says the delay is due to a change in data collection methods and not due to politics. In Turkey, representatives from Iran and the EU resumed talks today focused on Tehran's uranium enrichment program. Last night, a tornado ripped through the border town of Eagle Pass, Texas, in the U.S., killing seven. Three people died in Mexico from the same storm. Firefighters continue to battle the 53,000-acre Georgia wildfire, now in its ninth day. 18 homes have been destroyed and more than 1,000 people forced to evacuate. The U.S. military says it's identified an insurgent killed in the Anbar province last week as a senior al-Qaeda official. The Pentagon says the Iraqi terrorist led a militant group that recruited children for suicide car bomb operations. Murder charges have been filed against a Canadian prisoner in Guantanamo Bay. Omar Khadr was 15 when he was captured during a battle in Afghanistan. If convicted, he faces a life sentence. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, six elections, five space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
NASA and the Orbital Sciences Corporation say their Pegasus space launch off California today was flawless. The reusable Delta Wing spacecraft rides on the back of an aircraft to 40,000 feet where it's released. It then accelerates to 8 times the speed of sound, launching it into space. Pegasus is used to deliver satellites into orbit, as it did today. Tomorrow, astrophysicist Stephen Hawking will take a zero-gravity flight over the Atlantic Ocean. A victim of Lou Gehrig's disease, 65-year-old Hawking will be the first disabled person to take the space tourism flight. 20 African nations are trying to save the continent's elephants from possible extinction. Representatives from the nations are calling for a 20-year ban on ivory trade, and they're campaigning for support from the European Union. In Mexico City, municipal lawmakers have voted to legalize abortion during the first 3 months of pregnancy. The city is the first to do so in the mostly Catholic country. Opponents say they'll challenge the measure in Mexico's Supreme Court. In April, U.S. consumer confidence dropped to its lowest level in 8 months. That didn't seem to affect the markets today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 95 points, breaking through 13,000 to close at 13,049. The Nasdaq also closed up 23 points, the S&P up 15. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
Uh-huh. It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Here we go. Halfway through the broadcast week, and not quite halfway through this program. I'm Bob. You know that. If you don't know that, welcome, welcome, welcome to any new listeners. Let me lay it out on the line for you. This is Conversation Radio. You are welcome on the phones here. 877-443-2366 or on your on your nickel, 304-658-5453. We're a small but earnest operation, and we're trying to keep costs down. If you've got a calling plan where you can dial without being charged toll charges yourself, or you're independently wealthy, use the local 304-658-5453 and help us out a little bit. It's like giving without having to give. But nobody's screaming, nobody's carrying on, nobody's going to get mad at anybody. Yeah, that's the cool thing about being liberal. We can disagree with one another without having to just have an apoplectic fit about it and call each other Nazis. Because, you know, every time, that's the way it is with the right wing. They scream Nazi at the first sign of disagreement. Yeah, I know, we is having a party out here on the porch. Yes, we are. Now, okay, cast your minds back for a moment. And look, I know that there is a line out there that it's like the secret lodge password for PR people. There is no such thing as bad PR. Or there is no such thing as bad publicity. Yeah, as Agnes notes, Alec Baldwin might take issue with that. What the hell? And some would say that I should lay off playing clips from these right-wing yammerheads. No, I'm not going to do it because you guys don't listen to this crap, and I'm glad you don't. It'll make spinal fluid leak out your ears if you do. But periodically, when these freaks say what they say, we all need to come to a consciousness raising of what these guys are about and how hateful they truly are. Now, Don Imus said what he said, and I'm not going to play that clip. No. It'll never be played on here. Never again. We got the point across. By the way, I also take issue with these people who say, you know, NBC shouldn't have played the thing from the guy that he sent to them. No, that was most of that was probably generated by the other networks out of pure scoop envy. Journalism is not pretty. Citizenship is a damn job, okay? We are in the state we are in because most people don't want to be citizens. Come to terms with the fact that most of your so-called fellow Americans would be perfectly happy being the subject of some critter with jewelry on his head. Or live in a fascist dictatorship, because you know what? Living in a fascist dictatorship is pretty damned easy. You know, don't make waves, do what they say, stay out of trouble, consume, 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 work, 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 work. Hello, boys! Until they come for you. Citizenship is an obligation and a job, and being a citizen means being informed, and being informed means paying attention to what other people are trying to do to your country. Okay? Now, Imus said what he said, and it was reprehensible, it was repulsive. Now, let's go to Sherman set the Wayback Machine for yesterday. Yeah, where are we going, Mr. Peabody? We're going to listen to the Limbaugh Show. Oh, no! Yeah, we are, because, now, as you know, if you've ever listened to this filthy swine, you know that he relies heavily on a guy named Paul Shanklin. This is the guy who did the Elvis impression called In a Yugo. a liberal guy and a liberal gal in a Yugo. To the tune of Elvis's In the Ghetto. They're always mean-spirited, they're always hateful, and they're always aimed at someone who isn't the vicious right-wing, the vomitous conservative. Now, you may have already heard this on Guy James's program. Good. I'm glad you did. If you haven't, you'll hear it here. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody who hasn't heard about this. Imus made his comment, and Imus is gone now. My question is, after this, why in the hell is Rush Limbaugh not gone?
Here we go. This is Paul Shanklin as Al Sharpton about Barack Obama.
Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they call him that 'cause he's not authentic like me. Yeah, the guy from the L.A. paper said he made guilty whites feel good. They'll vote for him and not for me 'cause he's not from the hood. See, real black men like Snoop Dogg or me or Farrakhan have talked the talk and walked the walk, not coming late and won. Oh, Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they call him that 'cause he's black but not authentic. Me, Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they called him that 'cause he's black but not authentically. Some say Barack's articulate and bright and new and clean. The media sure love this guy. Oh, I
stop it.
Lover's dream.
Just stop it. Now, there I go. I set it up, and I tell you, you know, you've got a right to hear this. Journalism isn't pretty. Yeah, you've got a right to know. Citizenship is hard. I did a segment last night and read you portions of a transcript of a right-wing radio host internet chatting at what he thought was a 12-year-old little girl and trying to get her to do sex acts with herself. I'll leave it up to you. Which one's more disgusting? At what point in this country? Yeah, I know you get it. Yes. You know, I don't... Now, I know what's coming from the right wing. Oh, you hear it all the time. There's a term out there that I despise, I loathe, I despise.
Politically correct.
Because every time we catch one of these sleazy bastards in one of these,
it's the PC police.
No, it's the you got caught police. Now, at roughly this, now this happened on Rush's show yesterday, Flush's show, that junkie. How many Oxycontins was that little was that twerp eating per day? That twerp, you know where that comes from? We were coming back from Cleveland Clinic, my dad and me. We'd just been up there to get him all stented up and get him some brand spanking new circulation. And we'd been listening to sports radio out of Cleveland, but that faded out. And I hit the scan button and it landed on him. Him, Flimball. And Dad said, "Get that twerp off my radio. I'll listen to your rock and roll music first." Now that was saying something for Dad. That twerp, that drug-addled twerp, that twit. And you see, the other side of this coin is that he's doing this purely gratuitously because he is trying to goad and see if they will start a firestorm over him, and I'm playing right into it. Because, see, Flush Flimball's listenership is dwindling. He hasn't had an increase in listener numbers in years. Malloy, going up. Every single horn program, going up. Even Air America, when they're not busy shooting themselves in the foot and running around with disastrous business plans and taking people like Sam Cedar off to replace him with God only knows what, listenership's going up. O'Reilly, Flimball, flat for years. Hannity, in the next year or so, will probably replace Limbaugh as the most listened-to right-wing hate spewer. But it won't be because Hannity's listener numbers are growing. It'll be because Limbaugh will fall below him. Now, on the one hand, I wonder if I'm playing into it, because there is a concerted attack. I saw that mentioned over at Media Matters for America, MediaMatters.org. We don't have any sort of commercial relationship with them, but you know what? I value, I cherish, and I honor the people who are doing the hard work on the ground. There is some poor schlub at Media Matters who has to sit down every day and listen to 3 continuous hours of Flush Flimball and wait for him to stick his foot in his mouth. Or just do what he does every day and say something vitriolic and spewed and hateful and vicious. And yesterday it was that. But Michael Savage, the Savage Wiener, the guy who sent a postcard to Allen Ginsberg telling him he wanted to stick a camera up his butt and take pictures. That Michael the Savage Wiener, who hates gay people. O'Reilly, Neil Bortz, Flush Flimball. There is a full-scale right-wing assault on Media Matters, because Media Matters has gotten into the truth business. Media Matters is neck-deep in the fact business. Media Matters will do... they'll just put clips up of these goons, these goobers, these freaks, these hateful, hateful, hateful old white men, and leave you to make your decision for yourself. And so the right wing comes out and screams, "Oh, they're taking me out of context." And yet, you can listen to it in context. There's no out of context on Barack the Magic Negro. The context is all there. You heard the context yesterday Flush when he was saying that the shooter at Virginia Tech was a liberal. Now, I don't want some sort of boring... radio airwave culture. I don't want to suppress Flush's right to free speech. But do you suppose that, "Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I can lift a bowling ball with my vacuum cleaner," do you suppose that he would like it to know that he is associated shoulder to shoulder with a man who promotes Barack the Magic Negro? How about all those patent baldness remedies and herbal erection cures? Do they know, do they care, or are they just marketing to idiots anyway, so it doesn't really matter? How about buy gold now? What do you think? The question remains, why? My God, the man's got enough money to buy God. Go away, Rush. Go to satellite. Take Neil Bortz and Hannity and O'Reilly with you. There's not, because there's nothing. What? CBS today suspended JD and Elvis, or I don't know, some mid-morning zoo crew crowd from New York because they placed a prank phone call to an unwitting victim in a Chinese restaurant in New York and told her that they wanted some flied lice. Ho, 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 ho! Dang, that sure is funny. I love it when they do that flied lice joke. You know, last time, I about peed on myself when Larry the Cable Guy did it last time I heard it. But they also did some sexually suggestive stuff and yada, 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 and they did... And so they got, and the American Family Association was right there with a press release saying, tell the FCC that they need to keep that kind of verbal garbage off the air. I have never, not once, have I ever seen the American Family Association issue a call to action on behalf of Christ Jesus. Hey! Over some filthy, virulent, murderous, hateful remark made by Savage, made by O'Reilly, Flemball, that life support system for a hairdo, Hannity, Beck, Bortz. No. Crickets all the way across with the American Family Association and focus on the family and family focus and, you know, you get the idea. No. Crickets. Because that racism is okay. That hate is okay, because that's their kind of hate. Me, I got no hate. Fresh out. Wouldn't know it if it came up and shook my hand and introduced itself to me. I'm just counterpunching. All we're doing is fighting back. It reminds me a little bit this email I got, you know, because, you know, I get personal emails from Governor Howard Dean. No, I don't. I get the blast emails. Dear Bob, Rudy Giuliani should be ashamed. The former New York City mayor is politicizing September 11th in his 2008 presidential bid. Well, I'll be damned. Imagine that. A Republican politicizing September 11th. Here's what he said at a recent campaign stop in New Hampshire. Quote, and see if this makes your stomach do a couple of gyrations or two. Quote, if a Democrat is elected president in 2008, America will be at risk for another terrorist attack on the scale of September 11th, 2001. Yeah, I know. So let that just sort of rattle around in your skull like a marble for a minute. Never again will this country ever be on defense waiting for terrorists to attack us if I have anything to say about it. And make no mistake, the Democrats want to put us back on defense. I won't let this, says Howard Dean, I won't let this wannabe Republican nominee get away with remarks like these. I don't know. Okay, what's more sickening? Rush out there with Barack the Magic Negro or Rudy Giuliani standing there saying that, and this is pretty plain. He said, yeah, this is a replay of 2004. If a Democrat is elected president in 2008, America will be at risk for another terrorist attack on the scale of September 11, 2001. You know, Rudy, buddy, considering what we've done in the Middle East since 2003, I don't care if Bugs Bunny gets elected president, we're going to be at risk for another terrorist attack. Because we've taught them to hate us even more than they ever did, Rudy, you freak, you fool. Honest to God, I would not pee in Rudy Giuliani's mouth if his guts were on fire after a comment like that. Never again will this country ever be on defense waiting for terrorists to attack us if I have anything to say about it. And make no mistake, the Democrats want to put us back on defense. Nah, so Rudy just wants to go, you know, just bomb the world. I'll bomb the world and melt with you. That, again, bunch of one-trick ponies. That's all they've got. Is it moving? Kill it! Is it not moving? Screw it or steal it! We're Republicans! That's what they are. That's how they are. That's all they got. Kill it! Shoot it! Shoot! The nerve of him. Him who couldn't go back to his tactical headquarters because, against all the advice he was given, he put it in the World Trade Center. Dumbass. And make no mistake, the Democrats want to put us back on defense. Rudy, let's you and me sit down for a minute and talk. You don't tell them what you're doing. You sit back. You do like, oh, I don't know, what a buddy of mine used to say, you be an Indian in the weeds. And you don't let them know you're there. And then when they're least expected, you cut them off at the knees and then you kick their ass for being short. Rudy Giuliani just told America that he doesn't want America to be able to defend itself against terrorists. They'll put us back on defense. Well, it's about damn time somebody did. Because for the last 7 years, we've been doing nothing but scattering the seeds of terrorism and throwing fertilizer out there to help it grow in the form of blood. The blood of approaching, what, 750,000 innocent Iraqis? Half of those, women and children? Oh, they'll put us back on defense. Well, isn't that how you keep the other guy from scoring? Sorry, about to run off into a sporting analogy, and I know how you guys hate that. You know, if you don't have the defense on the field, the offense just goes up and down. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. It's WCFL, you score touchdown after touchdown. But Rudy Giuliani hasn't figured that out yet. He's going to wave the bloody shirt. He's in a battle. He's in a battle with John McCain to wave the bloody shirt. And my shirt is bloodier than yours, and I can wave it louder and harder and faster and higher and stuff. And stuff. And the American people are supposed to fall for this, and maybe the American people will. Maybe the American people will. I don't know. Scares the hell out of me to think that they will. Because they're going to get somebody I love killed. Wanting to be on offense all the time. No, we're not going to quit batting. The other team's going to say that Al-Qaeda's got to stay up there pitching. But they don't realize that, you know, the sporting analogy, baseball's the only sport in which the defense controls the tempo of the game. And guess what? Right now, Al-Qaeda, if they exist, controls the tempo of the game. They certainly have since 2001, haven't they? We have bankrupted our nation because Al-Qaeda controls, you know, with nothing more than two or three hijacked airliners. No offense, but Jesus. We've got a case of the fantods and the trots and everything and the screaming heebie-jeebies since 2001. Over four hijacked airliners. I got to go somewhere in a month or so, and I was checking the plane fares the other day, and there was this note about how I got to show up at the airport 2 hours early so I can get my toenails checked. Because I might be Al-Qaeda. There might be a bomb in my shoes. I'm sorry, Mr. Kincaid, have your shoes been with you since you got here? Well, yes, they have. Been on my feet. Good. Would you mind taking them off just so we can make... Well, okay. I swear we ought to have one day where everybody goes to the airport from 90-year-old grannies down to little old bitty babies, guys in a Speedo and girls in a bikini as a protest of all this airport security stupidity. Whatever. Let's take a break. We'll come back to your phone calls. The phone number you know, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. That's toll free. If you can bear the freight yourself, it's 304-658-5453. This is America's liberal voice. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. I'm Brother Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. We got a free upgrade for snakes on a plane. I don't care. Fuck the cheap champagne. We're going down in flames. Hey, I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready for it. Come on, so give me a hug. Oh, you're gonna make me a liar. So kiss me goodbye.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Fox Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
Thank you.
Have you ever been rewarded for doing the right thing, returning a lost wallet, putting your neighbor's cows back in the pasture? Maybe now is your chance. The new Conservation Security Program rewards farmers and ranchers for taking care of the land, keeping water clean and soil healthy. To see if you qualify for a Conservation Security Program payment, take the self-assessment. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office or USDA Service Center.
I can't thank you enough.
Because Agnes chair dances during it. And trust me, an Agnes chair dance is good for the heart of a 44-year-old guy.
Get to the phone.
No, it really is. I love that chord progression there, those couple of chords at the beginning with the stereo chorus. Oh, God, I love that. Luke. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Bob, I'm sorry to call in two nights in a row, but...
don't you dare apologize,
well,
you.
But like I say, I saw this today at Media Matters, and I saw the whole thing. And I understand you had to stop it. But like I say, everybody that's listening to us right now, tonight after the show, go to your computer, write you out a nice little letter, you know.
And tell your local Flush Flimball affiliate.
Well, like I say, go over to Media Matters and get that URL, you know, and tape it down there at the bottom of your letter and just say, why are people in your news division not standing up on a desk pounding up a pan in one hand and a spoon in the other? You know, saying, look at this! You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if you all screamed and yelled about Imus, somebody better be out there with a bullhorn on this.
Well, there's that. I mean, yeah, okay, to the local news outlet. I get what you're saying.
Local, I mean, ABC, CBS.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
hit them too. I just got an email from our buddy David in Tennessee. Well, the other part of Tennessee. Yeah, Middle Tennessee.
About to get wet.
Yeah, but he noted that he said, I just flamed the local Flush outlet. Almost a metaphor.
Yeah.
WLAC now knows that at least one white guy from around here does not think that crap's funny.
Agreed. I'll add NOX onto mine.
And the thing is, the trick here, because this is what really, really turned it around with Imus, Luke, the trick here is to say, by the way, I'm not just sending you guys an email.
I'm sending this to your advertisers.
I'm making a list of your advertisers. I'm putting it on the internet, and I'm going to encourage others to do the same.
Well, like I say, that's one thing I wish Media, and they may have it somewhere, I wish Media Matters or somebody would put up the list of Rush's advertisers.
Oh, well, it's out there. It's been generated two or three times. I mean,
But you know what I mean? It's sort of like that thing out in San Francisco, you know, the thing with Spocko.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these advertisers probably have no clue what he's actually putting on the air. You know what I mean? At certain times, they probably listen to the first 5 minutes.
Luke, there's no probably in it. They don't, because these are media buyers. I mean, I'm not trying to get all professorial and be dull, but please understand one thing. They only look at numbers. Oh, well, you know, Rush reaches 20 million people away. Blah, blah, blah. And so they go, oh, Jesus, we'll pay him a fortune to advertise our Lumber Liquidators. You want one? There's one for you, Luke. Lumber Liquidators.
Well, see, does he still do Snapple?
No, he hasn't done Snapple for a long time, but he does Lumber Liquidators, and I think he does General Steel Buildings.
Oh.
Okay, because what they did is, the way one of these campaigns sets up, Luke, and if you know this, just tell me to shut up.
Oh, no.
The way one of these
campaigns... Because everybody needs to hear it.
The way one of these campaigns sets up is that Lumber Liquidators
have so much to spend.
Well, they've got X dollars amount, and they've made a decision. Somebody has told them that the demographic of the people who, you know, obviously Lumber Liquidators doesn't want to sell flooring to 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
So you've got, you've already got sales demographics that tell you that the people who buy your Bella Wood, Lumber Liquidators, Bella Wood flooring, okay, the people who buy that are typically between the ages of 34 and 52, let's say.
Yeah.
So then your media buying expert goes around and says, okay, who's reaching 34 to 52? And they go, well, damn, 20 million 34 to 52-year-olds are tuning in to Flush Flimball every week, so they go, buy. All right? They don't care what Rush Limbaugh says. They don't care if he says it. They don't care if he broadcasts a 10 kilohertz tone that makes people's ears bleed, as long as they're tuned in.
Yeah.
And that will continue to be the paradigm by which these vendors operate until we demand that they change their model. And you know what? For as long as they've been with him, if Rush Limbaugh loses General Steel Buildings and Lumber Liquidators, there will be blood on the floor.
You know, but like I say, it's one of those things. I think this one, like I say, this is one of those straw moments. You know, to me, this one absolutely crosses 10 lines.
Okay, well, back up then. Tell me why.
Well, it's like I say, to me, this is one where you've been given the warning. Amos was the warning. You know what I mean? It's like, say, Amos was the one where they said, you know, you can't do certain things. And it's like he's saying, yes, I can. I'm Rush. I can do anything I want to. That's what I think this is more than anything else, is him trying to say, I can put anything on the air I want to put on.
And that's what I was getting at, Luke. There is an element in this of goading.
Because, like I say, you know what I mean? It's like you said the thing there with the two shock jocks. I mean, like I say, in comparison, we know that wasn't as serious as some things. It was serious. But you know what I mean? And there's always, you know, most every section of the country's got, you know, what's the two in New York? Andy and
Opie and Anthony.
Anthony.
No, they went to satellite too.
But you know what I mean? There's always some pair somewhere here and there like that.
Yeah, I know.
That's the juvenile. You know what I mean? The 16-year-old.
Well, this is all sort of a radio version of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
They're all trying to do Stern's shtick. And frankly, only Stern can do Stern. You know, I personally maintain this weird little fantasy that, and it's not a fantasy, but I can imagine having a very serious, decent, good, intelligent conversation with Howard Stern. Okay,
oh, yeah.
I don't think you couldn't do that with Opie and Anthony. You couldn't do that with JD and Elvis. This stuff just drives me crazy.
Well, like I said, I used to listen to him, you know, before he went to satellite. And like I say, on certain subjects, he could be just as eloquent as anybody else. You know what I mean? He could almost make you think he was a newsman, in that respect.
Well, of course he can. One of the best movies, my two favorite movies about the radio business, my favorite TV shows, of course, WKRP, but my two favorite movies about the radio business are...
Bunsarian's Talk Radio?
Yeah, exactly, Talk Radio. And the other one is Private Parts.
Because it shows you things that most people don't realize. That actually does happen.
The portrayal in Private Parts of Pig Vomit,
yeah,
the general manager, every guy who has ever committed himself to going behind a microphone and doing a good job has had to deal with Pig Vomit.
I've got a friend of mine that does sports, and he's told me, he said, that was just so perfect, that it was just so right on. He said when he saw that, he said, I know three guys like that.
They are the most craven, gutless, miserable human beings that you have ever met in your life, a radio station general manager.
And they clone them.
Yeah, they do. They do. I mean, the guy over in Beckley, nobody will dare say it to his face, but his nickname is Q-Ball, because he's got the mentation of one.
Oh, okay.
And the personality to boot. This is the guy who used to have hissies at me when I would say Snake Farm and All Snake, referring to insurance companies. Bob, you can't say that. They advertise with it. Oh, grow a pair! You know, I'd have a fit.
Let me go on to something else real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. But this is an important one. Like I say, we need to get everybody out doing it. You know, everybody else listening to us needs to write to whoever they want to. You want to meet
RushLimbaughOnline.com/advertisers.htm, by the way.
Okay. But, like I say, always remind the people tonight, like I say, it's 10 o'clock here, is Mr. Moyers.
Yes.
On tonight, and that needs to be watched, because what I've heard, read about it, sounds like it's going to be a beauty. Because apparently he gets Tim Russert in an interview and almost makes Tim Russert just about leave the room.
Well, that or cry.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, where is it? I've got it here in front of me. From over at Huffington Post, a guy named Barry Yorgrow actually posted the New York Times Arts What's On Tonight Lori Moore.
Yeah, I saw
at 8 p.m. Let's see. Fox, 8 p.m., top of the list, American Idol. Then CBS Jericho, ABC According to Jim, Channel 26, whatever the hell that is, Battle for the Bible, CW, America's Next Top Model, CBS Crossing Jordan, buying, and then finally, way, way, way down, 9 p.m., Buying the War, the season premiere of Bill Moyers Journal.
It was only like two lines.
Yeah, it's pathetic, yeah.
Well, apparently, like they said, the New York Times is doing all they can to ignore it, because one of the people Bill Moyers aims dead between his eyes, between the eyes, of the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Well, of course, yeah, and Steno sued Judy Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I to this day, To this day, Luke, I have not figured out why no more enterprising, creative radio types made the connection between Judy Miller of the New York Times and those great, great Saturday Night Live skits by Gilda Radner.
Well, you know, the thing that gets me is I'm betting 10-1 this is what he nails Russert on is, you know, weren't you having a clue when as soon as you were putting, you know, Dick Cheney on, the first thing he does is look at this New York Times article. You know, as was told today in the New York Times today, it's like, isn't it amazing everywhere you turn around he's quoting the New York Times? Didn't that signal a red light to you?
Didn't they used to hate the New York Times?
That's what I mean to them. That to them, I thought they were supposed to burst into flames when they looked at the damn thing. Oh, the other thing was, like I say, tomorrow night we're going to get this thing. I'm sure, you know, MSNBC is going to wear out this debate.
Oh, I know.
And the thing that's getting to me now, and if you like him, that's fine. I have nothing against it. But the thing that I'm starting to see now with Obama is I'm getting this feeling that the words Dukakis come to mind. That I'm getting this, have to be nice. And it's like, that's fun. That's how you get your teeth kicked in this game.
Yeah, this is, and you know, I've been on this one for a long time, Luke. This is a street fight.
It's one of those things. That's real nice to, you know, be nice. That's after the election. Until the January 20th, 2009, I want you in there, and I want knuckles scratched up. And frankly,
the old paradigm is for there to be a bunch of in-party infighting. You know, he's supposed to slam Hillary, and Hillary's supposed to slam him and Edwards, and he's supposed to slam Edwards and Edwards.
You know, it's like I told you a couple of weeks ago, you know, I said every time you see it on CNN, it's Clinton versus Obama. But I never see that on the Republican side. You know, somebody versus somebody.
But that's a lack of reporting, Luke. I've got a story here in my stack from Salon out of the straw polls in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
title of the article is Down and Dirty with the GOP Down South. First paragraph says, maybe it's the legacy of Lee Atwater. Maybe it's some lingering Confederate spunkiness. It might even be all the sweet tea, but one thing is unmistakably true. Republican Party politics in South Carolina is a down and dirty affair.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. All you have to do is go back and look at 2000.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that was the dirtiest campaign in South Carolina there was.
But it's not. But mostly, it's not getting covered. You know, I don't know. Somebody give a Peabody or, you know, one of those journalists, Pulitzer, I don't care, to John Stewart for the McCain thing last night.
Like I say, I think I sent that to you on the link, and I sent it to Mike and some others, and I said, why can't somebody in the MSM mainstream media have the guts to ask these kind of questions?
And in a way, to a certain extent, the argument that I was just making about Giuliani and the real way you defend the country, you know, lay in the weeds and cut them off at the knees. John Stewart has made nicey for so long. I mean, there were a couple of times it just made me want to vomit. John Stewart's made nicey with John McCain for so long that McCain never even saw it. I mean, McCain, oh my God. McCain was like Lenny in the weeds thinking about the rabbits in Of Mice and Men when John Stewart just whacked him.
It's one of those things. You saw what his other interview tonight is, didn't you?
No.
He's going on that great the great acronym, Larry King Live. Which, like I said, that cancels each other out.
The movie Men in Black. The dude was a Balchinian.
Ah.
Larry King is a true Balchinian. You know that?
Oh God. If we touch the ear, does the face open up? There's a little guy inside running the robot.
You know, my God, why? I mean, way, way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and I was a young up-and-coming journalist at CNN, Larry King was ridiculous.
Well, it's one of those things. I used to enjoy listening to him when he used to come on at midnight. And you know what I mean? It was your choice. It was either him or Art Bell.
My dad loved to listen to Larry King.
I didn't mind that at night, because at night that was about your only choice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Dad's coming home from the 4 to 12, he's listening to Larry King, stops for a couple of burgers, and he used to say, you know, it's good radio. Part of the reason I wound up doing radio is because my dad used to evince a lot of respect for radio.
But you know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, it's got to the point, and he's been this way for years. It's like, you know, I don't watch it anymore, but it's like, move Larry over to Headline. Put him on, let him do Celebrity.
Oh, no, Lou.
You know what I mean? Let
Lou,
him do that.
No, be careful. Oh, for God's sakes, be careful what you wish for.
I know.
You'll get Glenn Beck live. They'll just swap Glenn Beck and Larry King.
Well, at least one nice thing. We see. Remember now, next week, if you don't tell anybody else, remember tell them later this week, is now on Monday morning, you know, after wait till about noon, and everybody write to MSNBC and tell them how much you love Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because
she's going to get her three-day tryout at the Indianapolis Hole.
You know, I've mentioned from time to time our buddy Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com. Brilliant satirist. Wonderful writer. Eugene will not hesitate to work his own Jewishness. And he put a post up back on the 15th called King of Kings, Luke. And he said, in celebration of Larry King's 800th anniversary in show business, CNN will attempt to compile an hour's worth of coherent sentences. For example, who can forget his insightful questions when he moderated the Lincoln-Douglas debates? Apparently, neither candidate could satisfactorily explain, why does pastrami cost more than corned beef? Yet my all-time favorite was Larry's interview with Donald Rumsfeld. Larry King.
Oh, God.
You know that Rumsfeld sounds Jewish. Rumsfeld. Please, I'm from Kenilworth. Larry, well, you know that Madeleine Albright didn't realize she was Jewish. Rumsfeld, how did she avoid looking in mirrors? Couldn't we talk about the Middle East? Sure. Did you ever see King Richard and the Crusaders? Why doesn't Hollywood nowadays have actresses like Virginia Mayo? Well, she was a Republican. You know, Mayo sounds like Italian, but it's Irish. On the other hand, Robert Stack really was Italian, but he didn't look it. About the Middle East, did you ever see Omar Khayyam? Yes, and this administration is fighting Michael Rennie's terrorist organization to ensure that Raymond Massey, Cornel Wilde, and Deborah Padgett can live in a free and democratic Iraq. You know, Cornel Wilde was Jewish, too. Eugene is brilliant. FinnermanWorks.com. Sorry, I had to get that plug
in there. Well, that's okay. But it's like I say, Larry for the last few years is what I say. He's good gibberish TV.
I personally think those goofy suspenders are actually... It's a micro miniaturized the defib device. Just kind of keep. Oh, I'm dead again.
Dr. Frankenstein here. Put a little more voltage into him. little sticks outside. It's absorbing a lightning. It's like, oh yes, oh yes.
So wait a minute. Let me see if I've got this straight. Is he on there tonight?
Supposedly, McCain, I think, is on there tonight.
So we're going to have McCain on Larry King at the same time that Bill Moyers
is
peeling journalism like an onion.
I think Moyers is on at... I guess it is 9. Yeah.
No, they're both on at 9, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, it is 9.
Is there a better dichotomy? Is there a better example of the failure... Or whatever of American journalism than what will happen at 9 p.m. tonight.
Well, you know what? You got to give props to it. I don't know. I haven't looked at the rest of the schedule this week, but PBS has had a good week so far. Had last night had the thing on global warming, and then the one on solar power. Then I don't know about you, but here we had Independent Lens on, and they showed Enron, smartest guys in the room.
Oh, I just love hearing that.
I mean, that was 4 hours of fun there. I tell you. Then, like I say, we get this tonight, so it's like I say, somebody at PBS must be on vacation, and somebody went, quick, get it on, but nobody knows.
Well, no, what they're doing, Luke, is that with this Bill Moyers thing, they're trying to prove that they're fair and balanced. Oh, God, it's made it into PBS. After what they did with that shameless right-wing puff piece that they ran, what, last week, Crossroads or whatever
it was called?
That thing where they gave an hour to Richard Pearl to just do it all over again.
I know it was sort of like the Larry King thing. Ask one question and apparently they walked away and it's like here, and just let him go on with a monologue for an hour. Like God.
You know, it was just drop your nickel in and walk away and come back and drop another one in when he slows down.
I heard someone the other day, and I cannot think who it is. I'll try to remember. Not next time I call, I'll tell you. But, he said, what would be the one thing you'd want to do? You know, said if you could hook George Bush up to the lie detector and pump him full of truth serum. And maybe it was Stewart, and he said, I want to know what he was thinking for that 7 minutes sitting in the classroom.
Yeah, America still does.
You know, so if you hook him up to the lie detector and pump him full of sodium pentothal, I want to know what was going on in his mind for that 7 minutes.
Well, the other thing I want to know, though, Luke, and we'll get into this into the next hour, I want to know if Pickles has been hanging out with Babs a lot more lately.
I saw some of that. It's like, you know, people quit talking to her. I mean, dear Lordy. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. Just let them hand you the
I don't even want him to talk to George anymore.
I'm getting to the point now. Please, somebody do an interview with Barney. He makes the most sense of all of them. Barney, what do you think?
Well, yeah, it's about the same thing. Hang on just a minute, Luke. I got a clip here. Don't know if you've seen it. This is from a couple of days ago. Bush standing, standing out in the Rose Garden.
Oh. I've got to the point with him every time. It's sort of like, oh God, don't let me listen. My brain cells are dying.
Well, it's not very often I invite the folks who share their time with us on the air to just scream. But after this is over, you have my permission to scream, Luke.
Last November, the American people said they were frustrated and wanted a change in our strategy in Iraq. I listened. Today, General David Petraeus is carrying out a strategy that is dramatically different from our previous course. The American people did not vote for failure, and that is precisely what the Democratic leadership's bill would guarantee.
Go ahead.
They voted to get out, you idiots!
Mm-hmm.
They said, run, damn it, run!
Nope, they voted for more war. They voted for the escalation. That's
well, the one that got to me was them talking about, well, you know, none of these generals are for it. I said, they're under orders. They can't be. It's called the uniform, was it the military code? They can't say George Bush is an idiot. If they do, they'll be arrested. But isn't it amazing how almost to the man, every one of these guys, admirals and generals, as soon as they retire, turn around and go, this is crazy.
I know, and yet, today, I forget who the talking head was on CNN, some ex-general, who said, well, you know, if we were to pull out, if they don't get the money, we've only got half the troops over there that we have to have for the surge. Huh? He actually said that, Luke. I mean, I was pretty well over the flashbacks by then.
So let's just use, you know, this money that they're going to appropriate. Let's just buy them the damn tickets to get on the plane. Everybody find a seat. Come on, let's go.
Let's go. Don't make me stop this aircraft.
I know. I taped it last night because I know he was going to do his rip on Moyer. So I taped Billo last night just to listen to the paranoia. And wasn't it amazing? I let it run for it and at Hannity. And isn't it amazing how last night I did not hear them mention the words Jessica Lynch or Pat Tillman?
No.
But, of course, they mentioned Alec Baldwin about every other 5 minutes, period. I still think they're Fox Noise, but I've got a new name for them.
Yeah?
Distraction TV.
Very good. Hey, Luke, thanks a bunch, brother.
Bye, bud. Y'all have a good evening.
You too now.
Bye.
Bye. All right, we'll be back. Like I said, I've got some more stuff for you. I got some more outrage for you. Good news out there, guys. We told you a little bit over the last couple of weeks about the nurses' strike over at Appalachian Regional Hospitals. It's settled. It's over. The LPNs and the support staff get to go back to caring for patients. They approved a new contract, and the strike is done. Now it remains to be seen whether or not Appalachian Regional Hospitals will actually honor their contract. I really want it to be such that they do honor it. Oh, and by the way, if you want to see John McCain get taken apart, you know, death of a thousand cuts, you can go over to WD40.com, WBYAD40.com. Our buddies Clyde and Dookie and Wally dutifully put that up there. Go by, oh my God, it's amazing to watch. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. America's Front Porch Conversation, huh? Jump right in if you want to. You know the number. I'm Bob Kincaid. A trust betrayed, a rusty plate, standing on the air.
This is the Quality News Network. The House Oversight Committee has approved a subpoena for Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. The committee will question Rice, who was President Bush's national security advisor in 2003, about the administration's justifications for invading Iraq. The administration says it might fight the subpoena. The House committee also granted immunity to Monica Goodling, a former top aide to U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Congressional investigators want to ask her about discussions with presidential aides leading up to the firing of 8 federal prosecutors. On Capitol Hill, the House is expected to pass a $100 billion war appropriations bill that contains an October 1st deadline to begin bringing U.S. troops home. If approved, it sets the stage for a historic showdown with the president, who's threatened to veto any bill containing a withdrawal timetable. In New Hampshire today, Senator John McCain officially announced his candidacy for president. The Arizona Republican and former POW says he's running for president to protect the country and keep it strong. At 70, McCain would be America's oldest first-term president. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed past 13,000 on some strong earnings reports from some major U.S. corporations. That's a record. Wall Street numbers later in our business section. In Turkey, representatives from Iran and the EU resumed talks today focused on Tehran's uranium enrichment program. And last night in the U.S., a tornado ripped through the border town of Eagle Pass, Texas, killing 7, 3 people in Mexico. Firefighters continue to battle a 53,000-acre Georgia wildfire now in its 9th day. 18 homes have been destroyed and more than 1,000 people forced to evacuate. Presidential candidate Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich has filed articles of impeachment against Vice President Dick Cheney. Kucinich claims Cheney deliberately lied to the American people in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq. And leaders from around the globe paid their final respects today at the funeral of former Russian President Boris Yeltsin. Presidents Bill Clinton and George Bush Sr. were among the crowd, as well as Britain's Prince Andrew. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Federal investigators say hog farms in 6 states were sent contaminated pet food as pig feed. Authorities say they aren't certain whether the affected hogs have entered the human food supply, but the FDA reports some pigs in California and the Carolinas tested positive for the poison. In Mexico City, municipal lawmakers have voted to legalize abortion during the first 3 months of pregnancy. Opponents in the mostly Catholic country say they'll challenge the measure in Mexico's Supreme Court. Chinese officials are trying to clear the air. Chinese meteorologists will use a process called cloud seeding to artificially produce rain. It's an attempt to remove air pollution from the air ahead of the 2008 Summer Olympic Games in Beijing. JetBlue Airways narrowed its quarterly loss to $22 million. Operating revenues for the discount carrier increased 24%. Britain's pharmacy chain Boots is the target of a takeover bid by U.S. private equity group KKR. The deal is valued at $22 billion. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $65.62. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average broke through the 13,000 mark, a record. It went up 95 points, closing at 13,049. The NASDAQ closed up 23, S&P up 15. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buzz.
Hey, before we run on with other stuff, let me point something out for you, if you don't mind. I know that our good friend, our IT consultant, without whom none of our computers would even remotely behave, Peter Godbold, as well as our good doctor, our Horn resident psychologist, Rick Goodner, have both been following this story. Share some information with you real quick. An open letter to SMU petition signers. And it says, I am the Reverend Andrew J. Weaver, Ph.D., the person who organized and maintains the petition at www.protectsmu.org. I am an ordained United Methodist minister and research psychologist living in New York City. I want to thank you for signing the petition and for your passionate and heartfelt comments. It is important that the United Methodists and other people of faith and conscience express their pain and outrage at the unchristian manner that President George W. Bush has conducted himself while in office. No one in modern history has done more to discredit the witness of Jesus Christ and the good name of the Methodist people worldwide than George Bush. To place a massive partisan institute on the campus of a university owned by the United Methodist Church to polish his legacy and promote President Bush's policies, both in quotes, over which the Southern Methodist University or the United Methodist Church will have no oversight, is unacceptable. The evidence is abundant. Bush has acted in profoundly immoral ways while in office. He chose to launch a shock and awe war of aggression against the people of Iraq based upon a series of falsehoods. The war continues to be a catastrophe, and the tragic aftermath will be with us for generations to come. In addition, the president has authorized international kidnapping and torture. On September 15, 2006, the Washington Post lead editorial was entitled, "The President Goes to Capitol Hill to Lobby for Torture." The Post reported, "President Bush rarely visits Congress, so it was a measure of his painfully skewed priorities that Mr. Bush made the unaccustomed trip yesterday to seek legislative permission for the CIA to make people disappear into secret prisons and have information extracted from them by means he dare not describe publicly." Anyone who thinks that the good name of Methodism or Southern Methodist University should be associated with George W. Bush needs to read the book Oath Betrayed, Torture, Medical Complicity, and the War on Terror by Dr. Stephen Miles, Professor of Medicine at the University of Minnesota. Professor Miles has based this volume on painstaking research and highly credible sources, including eyewitness accounts, Army criminal investigations, FBI debriefings of prisoners, autopsy reports, and prisoners' medical records. These documents tell a story strikingly different from the Bush administration version presented to the American people, revealing involvement at every level of government, from former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld to prison health care personnel. The book also shows how the highest officials of government are complicit in this pattern of torture, including Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, United Methodist Vice President Dick... United Methodist Vice President Dick Cheney and United Methodist President George W. Bush. While much of the use of torture by the Central Intelligence Agency and Special Forces troops remains concealed, Dr. Miles documents how 19 prisoners were tortured to death by American military personnel. The book tells of an Afghan prisoner named Dilawar, an innocent 22-year-old who drove his taxi to the wrong place at the wrong time. At the U.S. detention center in Bagram, Afghanistan, in December of 2002, Dilawar was smothered, shackled, and then suspended by his arms. When he was beaten with a baton, he cried out, "Allah, Allah," which amused the soldiers and triggered more merciless blows. The official report reads that he was beaten over a 5-day period until his legs were, in the words of the coroner, I hate the English language sometimes, pulpified. He was then chained to the ceiling of his cell, where he died. Although an autopsy stated that Dilawar's death was a homicide, General Daniel McNeil told reporters that Dilawar had died of natural causes on the grounds that one of his coronary arteries was partly occluded. The words coronary artery disease were typed in a different font on the prisoner's death certificate. Jesus. You know, you remember when the right wingers screamed to high heaven and demanded that Dick Durbin publicly apologize for saying on the floor of the Senate, "These things, if I told you about them and you didn't know they were done by Americans, you would swear they were done by Soviets or Nazis." You remember the firestorm? Do you remember the right-wing indignation of Flush Flimball and Hannity and O'Reilly and those goons? Do you remember that? Guess what? Dick Durbin was right. Died of coronary artery disease. Why? It reminds one of a line in Casablanca. Yes, Casablanca. "He has not yet decided whether or not he committed suicide of a shot trying to escape." Up to 90% of the prisoners detained in the Bush War on Terror have been found to be unjustifiably imprisoned and without intelligence value. Terror is a crime against humanity and a violation of every human rights treaty in existence, including the Geneva Conventions, which prohibit cruel and degrading treatment of detainees. Torture is as profound a moral issue in our day as was slavery in the 19th century. It represents a betrayal of our deepest human and religious values as a civilized society. If the United Methodist Church cannot take a stand against the use of torture and those who employ it, including President Bush, what does it stand for? Amen. Amen, Reverend Weaver. Because after all, some of the crap that has been done, that's not crap, that's a throwaway word. Some of the abject evil that has been done to these people, peasants, damn it, peasants! His legs were pulpified. Some of the stuff that has been done to them, well, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me, huh? Hey, it's prayer meeting. Doesn't it say in the scriptures, didn't they come and break his legs? Or is that just something we generally know about crucifixions, that they would break the legs to hasten death, if they were feeling merciful, the Romans, that day? If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me. There you have it. Now, in the course, that line sort of grabbed me. The line about slavery: torture is as profound a moral issue in our day as was slavery in the 19th century. Hear it again. Torture is as profound a moral issue in our day as was slavery in the 19th century. Guess what? The right wing has a different idea. Agnes? Well, we've got a talk here. Sorry to do this to you. I told you I had some more sound for you. Glenn Beck. Last night on his filthy little program on Headline News, arguing in favor of staying in Iraq. Remember the words, please. Remember the words of Reverend Weaver. Torture is as profound a moral issue in our day as was slavery in the 19th century. Now hear the words of Glenn Beck.
The Democrats in Congress, I believe many of them, are just plain stupid. They can't see the future. It's a combination of all three. Meanwhile, they're not only playing with the lives of our troops, but they are playing with the lives of the Iraqi people. It is immoral for us to do what we're doing right now, to abandon these people and let them get slaughtered after we started it.
Huh?
If we did that now, this would be America's most shameful act of immorality since slavery. The blood of the Iraqi children will be on all of our hands. Harry
Pause,
Reid,
please, Agnes.
The Iraqi children are not...
Did you hear that? I don't ask you that rhetorically. I need to know you heard it because otherwise, you know, the flashbacks are hell. If we leave Iraq, it will be the biggest moral hoosis since slavery? That's why I asked you to remember the words of Reverend Weaver. Torture is as profound a moral issue in our day as was slavery in the 19th century. And Reverend Weaver is correct, because they go to the same place. In slavery and in torture, there is a fundamental determination that a person is somehow entitled to treatment that does, that one would not do, get, force upon a human being. No? Am I correct? Go ahead, Agnes.
Wetting their pants because of us and the American soldiers. They are wetting their pants and having nightmares because of the lack of American soldiers protecting them. Let me ask George Clooney. George, where are you? Forget about Darfur. It's going to look like a picnic compared to what happens in Baghdad.
The blood of the Iraqi children will be on all of our hands. Glenn Beck, you worthless, you soulless, you motherless, you lifeless, son of a... The blood of the Iraqi children is already on your hands. Nearly 750,000 Iraqi civilians, non-combatants, are dead, and it is on your hands, Glenn Beck! Damn you! Damn you! All of a sudden, he's worried about the Iraqi children. Didn't care about the Iraqi children when he was wetting himself over shock and awe, did he? Democrats are stupid for wanting to end this war. Huh, how about that? And him, a religious man. How do you like that? Oh, it just goes on and on. 70% of Iraqis want us the hell out of their country. Hey, if we were occupied by Iraq, would you want Iraq out of our country? You know what? The sad thing is, we've got so damn many conservatives and so damn many Republicans in this country that I'm pretty well convinced that we couldn't get 7 out of 10 of Americans to want an occupation to cease, because, you know... The Republicans, you know, if the communists invaded, they'd have a hammer and sickle flag. If the Nazis invaded, they'd have a swastika. If it was the Taliban or Al Qaeda's army or what the hell ever, they'd have a copy of the Quran and a rug. That's how conservatives are. That is how Republicans are. They are complicit in the destruction of this nation. They are actively working for the destruction of this nation from the Constitution on. If you listen to the Christian Reconstructionists, they'll tell you openly, we want to use the constitutional structure of the United States to destroy the Constitution. Yes, Lord, yes. Go read the writings of John Sugg. Sure thing. Let's go to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
I'll finish your sentence there for Glenn Beck. Bitch.
Thank you.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, because
you know,
he is.
So it? What's his argument? The Iraqis are our people to slaughter.
What? I mean, yeah.
That's what he's saying. And, you know, unfortunately, there's an awful lot of blood on our hands already of Iraqi children and, you know, they're These people are totally disgusting. Totally.
Well, this is their fallback position, Wayne.
Pardon me?
This is their fallback position.
Yeah, right. Well, this, and, you know, it's kind of ironic. 70% of the Iraqi people want us out of our country. 70% of the American people want us out of their country, too. Isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah, but then we got George Bush. I mean, did you hear that a couple of minutes ago?
Which one now?
Okay, Agnes, go back, please. The Bush. A couple of days ago, George Bush said that as a result of the elections in 2006, we had to have an escalation of the war. Dig this, Wayne. I mean, this is going to make you. I told Luke it'll make you scream. It really will. Play it again, Agnes.
Last November, the American people said they were frustrated and want a change in our strategy in Iraq. I listened. Today, General David Petraeus is carrying out a strategy that is dramatically different from our previous course. The American people did not vote for failure. And that is precisely what the Democratic leadership's bill would guarantee.
You got the talking point now, Wayne?
Yeah. Well,
they got their ass handed to them in November 2006, and that means we have to have a bigger war.
Yeah, well, he's like a guy that calls the local show here, right? I think, you know, who always says, I'm listening. Yeah, well, he's just like George Bush. You might be listening, you dumb bastard, but you sure as hell ain't paying attention. I mean, oh, my God, they're ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So you saw the news about the strike.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And I'm happy for them. The strikes are hard, and I don't think I don't think most of America understands that a strike is a difficult, difficult, heart-rending, gut-wrenching, emotional thing.
It's all of those things. It's all of those things. And you know, well, I'm glad it's over for them. And
well, have you seen the deal?
I've seen parts of it. You know, it's not the best deal in the world, you know, but it's better than where they started out a month ago.
Yeah,
way
and you
better.
Know, and you know what? When you've got a disagreement like this, you know you've got a good agreement when both sides go away unhappy.
Well, that's exactly right. And I, you know, like I told you before, a guy told me a long time ago, if you come out of negotiations and tell me you got everything you wanted, that means you didn't ask for enough.
Well, there's that
you
too.
Know? So, you know, it's, well, I'm glad it's over for them, and they stood up for what was right, and they won.
Yeah.
Win.
I'm proud of them. I'm so proud of them. Because these aren't folks, I mean, you know, these aren't a bunch of labor militants or anything.
No, they're not.
These are folks who dedicate their lives to caring for sick people.
And, you know, the majority of people out there have never been on strike in their life. And they were admirable and honorable, and they conducted.
They were brave,
very
Wayne.
Good.
They were
and,
brave.
I'm proud of them. I'm
absolutely.
Of them, you know.
And
my advice to them is start saving money.
not just that, but look at, you know, to the rank and file. Get the contract. Read the contract. Learn the contract. Live the contract. And know every T crossed and every I dotted, because I mean, forgive me, I'm a little bit of a cynic. You know, you've kind of taught me some of that.
You're not dealing with honorable people.
Precisely. We know what they've done to the registered nurses.
Exactly. Whose contract comes up in a few months.
How about that?
Yeah, well, their contract ends 1st of October. And, you know, that's going to be another battle.
Yeah, this is the contract that ARH has been breaching since the day they signed it.
Yeah, exactly. That, you know, they agreed to binding arbitration, and then when the arbitrator didn't...
They took that to court.
Well, we ain't going to agree with that. We're going to court.
They're
going
to lose all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yes, they are, and, you know, let them. I hope... I'd love to see one result of this is Mr. Haynes losing his job. You know, I mean, he has wasted an awful lot of that corporation's money when, you know, all the money they paid for radio and television ads and paying replacement workers double what you were giving your striking workers, you know. I hope he loses his job. I truly do. And
But he won't. He'll get a bonus. I mean, come on, be real.
Unfortunately, that seems to be the way corporate America works. Corporate America works that way. you were talking last night about, Jessica Lynch and the Tillman family, and
yeah,
how, you know, Jessica has put a target on their back, on her back, and I mean, you know, it started last night. You know, I don't know why I do this to myself, but, you know.
Oh, you tuned in, didn't you?
Well, you know, I turn on MSNBC, you know, because Overman's there, and sometimes you got to watch everything.
Yeah.
But I said this before, and you know, I'll say it again. You know, how anybody could sit across from Tucker Carlson and not slap him or punch him or something? I don't know. You know. I swear to God, if the man ever comes around me, I'm going to bitch slap him. I don't care if I go to jail or not.
He
just needs it.
It's the fine for that would be the price of the ticket you paid for the ride.
Well, it'd be, you know, whatever the price, it'd be well worth it. It'd be well worth it. But he was all confused as to why are the Democrats having these hearings with, you know, Jessica Lynch and the Tillman family.
Yeah, why?
And, you know, what do they expect to gain from this? I mean, maybe it'll backfire from them, on them, and yada, yada. And, you know, like,
what moron.
Do they expect, you know, how about, you know, making the point that if this administration can lie about what Jessica Lynch went through and Pat Tillman, a true hero's death, they could lie about that. If they could lie about that, what in the hell, how can you trust anything they say? That's the point, Mr. Bowtie. I know he gave that up, but he still...
Yeah.
And he started on Jessica, you know. Well, you know, Lynch went along with this in the beginning, you know. No, she didn't. No one would listen to her.
And she was so crippled up, she couldn't very well...
Oh, my God, the poor girl... What she went through, I mean, it's amazing she could still function, for crying out loud. They're totally disgusting. Now, one guy I can't listen to, and I just listened to him, was that Beck. I mean, you know, when I do flick buys, when he's there, I continue to flick.
I think you just invented a new word.
What's that?
The flick buy.
The flick buy?
Yeah, that's where you go. Click. Oh.
Oh no, flick.
Yeah. That, it's click without the C with an F added because you're going click.
And Limbaugh, you know.
You know, and the saddest, he's going to get away with it.
That's what a disgusting human.
Because I frankly I don't know why. I don't know if. You know, what Ima said, Wayne, was disgusting. And he'd been saying disgusting things for years. And it's good that he's gone. Okay, all of that is prologue. But Limbaugh's been doing this, doing the same thing, and getting away with saying, my friends, I'm only an entertainer.
That shouldn't fly, you know. I mean, Ima's claimed to be a comedian. You know.
Yeah.
So.
But he will. And he will until people start calling lumber liquidators and the General Steel buildings and bring some heat to bear.
And them mattress people. Yeah, call them mattress people.
And the guy with the bowling ball and the vacuum cleaner, sure.
Yeah, right.
Now, the other thing here, and the other reason he's going to get away with it, and I think this is very important, Wayne, is that Rush Limbaugh, from the day he opened his microphone, has been subsidized by non-commercial money. Okay?
All right.
Heritage Foundation, Competitive Enterprise Institute, American Enterprise Institute. I don't know that any of those were the ones who did it, but there has been Republican back channel money propping his dead junkie ass up.
Oh, that's exactly right.
And and we progressives, we liberals, had better learn that. Okay?
Well, I mean, you know how in tune he is with those people. I mean, when they had the big media meeting. It was around the time we were in D.C., I think, Forts was there and Hannity was there.
Yeah.
You remember with all those with George
Look at,
Bush.
When Rush, when Dick Cheney's going to fart, Rush already has the match lit.
Well, exactly. I mean, Limbaugh wasn't there, was he? The way I remember.
No, I don't think so, no.
Because he doesn't have to be there. I mean,
Yeah. But I'm getting at something here, Wayne, and I think you know what it is. If General Steel pulled their advertising, and Lumber Liquidators, and the bowling ball and vacuum cleaner guy, and the mattress people, and the herbal erection remedy people, and the herbal baldness people, all pulled their advertising, you know what would happen?
It would prove that he is a totally neoconservative sponsored program.
Because he'd still be there.
Yes, he would be there. Because that's where his money comes from.
Because as long as he's breathing out and breathing in immediately thereafter, there is going to be Republican money propping his dead ass up. Am I wrong?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Now, let's do a little translation. Because, everybody, the cat's out of the bag since March the 6th or the 8th or whatever. You're part and parcel behind this operation.
Yes.
How many, because we haven't talked in a while, how many liberal think tanks have written you a check lately to keep the horn on the air, Wayne?
That number would be zero, Bob.
Now, is that mathematical zero or absolute zero?
That's an absolute zero.
Okay. I mean, and so you know what I'm getting at here.
I do know what you're getting at.
We haven't figured it out yet. We haven't figured out the importance of being out there day in and... No, not we. You have, I have, Mark Levine has, Guy James has. Joe Vecchio's out there, hanging on by a fingernail in Chicago, but by God, every morning he's behind a microphone.
No, the people with the money think that, what the hell's that supposed liberal or converted liberal, Schwartz?
Schultz.
Schultz. It just doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. But we're going to, what's the old saying? Even a blind hog finds an acorn every now and then.
And man, are
we're going to keep rooting.
Yeah.
We've managed to stay alive this long. And
ain't nobody. Continue. No. Ain't nobody going anywhere.
No, that's for damn sure.
It would be
awful nice if we could pay some people.
Well, I got Joe up in we got Joe up in Chicago. I love Joe like a brother. This guy's been tormented by his landladies. He's got a miserable thing going at work. Wouldn't it be nice to just make Joe Vecchio's life a little more comfortable?
It would be very nice.
Wouldn't it be nice sure. to smack the wolf away from the door at Guy James's place?
That would be good. That would be good.
Wouldn't it be nice to keep the rain out of my house?
That would be good.
Not having rain falling on your multi-$1,000 equipment's a real bonus.
That's real important.
You can say that as a construction professional.
Yes. I mean, yeah, believe me, I'm qualified to say that.
That's the frustrating thing behind the likes of Limbaugh. And when you get to Glenn Beck at Headline News, Wayne... that guy's not selling that many ads. Okay? His numbers aren't that good. He's still there because there's back channel money keeping him there. And I don't mean to make the black helicopters fly around outside or get people putting on their tinfoil helmets or whatever. But that just is.
If you could do a true investigation into these people and where their money's come, that would be proven.
Yeah.
That would be proven. Yeah, but as long as Limbaugh has his herbal boner remedies and mattresses, then they could cover it up.
I love the doors you open for me, man. Now I get to say boner on the air because you have.
That's not one of the words, is it?
Dude, you define what the words are.
Well, Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Jesus, read your job description, will you?
So you stopped the leaks, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you got, blue tarps up there?
Oh, no, 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 no. If we had blue tarps, this thing would fly away. Those things would just turn into sails.
Okay.
No, we've got real shingles up. We've got this patch of white in the middle of a bunch of green.
Well, it's colorful.
Yeah,
that
I could...
way you're kind of camouflaged, see? So when the helicopters come looking for you, they won't be able to see the place.
Yeah, daggum roof is so old that I couldn't match the shingles.
No. I imagine you could.
Oh, God.
Oh, well. Just hang in there, pal.
We're trying to. We're having a hell of a lot of fun doing
it. You know. I saw pictures of your new granddaughter, man. She is absolutely beautiful.
Isn't she just what a doll.
That makes life worth living right there.
Yeah, it does. So. And you know, today was one of those benchmark days. She lost her, and this is one of those mommy things and grandma things, she lost her umbilical cord.
Oh, my golly. Great celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
Is there any kind of ceremony that goes along with that or anything?
I don't know. I mean, maybe the church has this thing about limbo. You know, I don't know.
Right. Yes, there's a ceremony.
Well, you know, I... What's that?
Yes, there's a ceremony.
Okay.
You know, I keep everything.
Don't show me it, all right?
You! I'm the one at risk!
Oh, God.
Oh, honey, look at the... No!
How'd we get into this?
Hey, you brought up the pretty baby.
Yeah, I guess.
And as soon as we get Mommy's permission, we'll post a photo of little Liza.
Well, I think that would be great. I think she's beautiful.
Now, I love taking those pictures.
She's got more hair than I do.
Me too. And I took those, you know, like I said, you know, some proud grandparents go and put a ball glove or a baseball or a golf club or a teddy bear or whatever. I put a microphone in there, Wayne.
There you go.
We've got pictures, and she's gonna have a microphone. Yeah, she's gonna have a microphone everywhere she goes. I'm gonna take one and take the guts out of it and put some beans in, and that'll be her rattle.
Okay, but we don't have to wait that long for the. Well, Agnes is the first female host, so we don't have to.
Yeah,
we did that already.
Yeah, right. But no, it's like you say, you know, the Republicans are forever saying that, the Democrats think if you can just throw money at it, well, you know, throw money, because money does solve most of the problems.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
I mean, I've heard there are women out there who would love to host a show on this network, but only if we can pay them.
Yeah. I can understand that.
I'd love to get a woman on this network.
But, you know, money is the answer to a lot of things. My mother used to always say, they say that money is the root of all evil, and I'm one of its favorite rooters.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So.
Well,
anyway,
next time you talk to one of the steelworker members from over at ARH, please give them my very, very kind congratulations and tell them to watch their backs.
I certainly will. And, like I say, I want people to aware we're probably going to be going through this again here in the next few months with the RNs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'll be behind them, too.
Yeah, because that contract's been breached for, what, 3-4 years now?
Well, a year into the contract, so 2 years now. 2 years, you know. And they're still in court, and they're still losing. So.
Yeah, the hospital is.
The hospital is, yes. Yes, the hospital is, and I expect them to lose again. You know, but like say, the biggest win would be for that. Is it Jerry Haynes? Is that his
first
name? It seems like it's Jerry. Maybe I know Haynes is his last name.
Yeah.
Of course, you could substitute that for Glenn Beck's name too. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Self-made.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. All right, pal, I'm going to get off here, man. Let somebody else get on.
All right, take it easy, my brother.
Okay, have a good evening.
Later, Wayne.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Agnes, should we take a break? About 20 minutes before the hour, 20 minutes left in the program this evening. We'll come back and finish up with just a little bit more fun.
Yes, we will. And a shout-out to Glenda to get better and Billy to get better. We love you all.
Okay, good deal. Thank you, Agnes. And I had a couple of callers on hold who bailed out earlier, and I'm doggone it. sometimes a little patience, please. If you do call in on the Your Nickel line, let Agnes know you get moved to the front of the line. How's that for fair? You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Agnes, she sure can pick them, can't she? Listen, this may prove unsettling. I've had this sort of boiling around for a while. Ever since I read a blog from a very decent-sounding, semi-liberal kind of guy, or at least sounded like a Democrat. Our buddy Spike in Easton, PA, sent me a link to a blog in the Lehigh Valley. And this guy, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, was making an argument that it was treacherous for us to leave Iraq right now. That, yes, we started it. No, we shouldn't have started it. Yes, we've created a bunch of carnage, but if we leave right now, we just up and leave, it's only going to make things 1,000 times worse. And lo and behold, that's what you heard suddenly being parroted by Glenn Beck, who operates, I think, if I'm not wrong, out of the Philly area, doesn't he? And that slug, Michael Smirkanish. I think that's the new talking point. Well, we can't leave Iraq because this is a humanitarian crisis that we created. You know, and see, that's the fundamental dishonesty of these bastards. Damn them. There's a guy out there who has had credibility on this from day one because he's been right about it from day one. He filed articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney yesterday. His name's Dennis Kucinich. And if you look at the Kucinich plan, Kucinich.us, you will find that part and parcel of that is getting cooperation from the international community to replace us as we go out. Because we have screwed it up. You know, if you take your car somewhere and you say, hey, buddy, fix my brakes. And you leave the place, you pay the guy the money, and you find out you've got no brakes. When you get the vehicle to a stop, you don't take it back to the guy who screwed up your brakes, because he screwed up your brakes. That's us. We pulled the brakes off of 1,000 years of sectarian hatred in that region between the rivers in Iraq. We are thus not entitled to try to fix it anymore. And all this talk about victory and winning and, oh, we'll be defeated. Victory and defeat don't apply. This is modern warfare. There's not going to be a ceremony on a battleship anywhere. But I got to thinking about what I read there from this guy who seemed like a decent, you know, decent Democrat, decent liberal. We can't just leave now. And I tried to think about what the opposite of that might be. And if you get upset with me, you get upset with me. I'm here for candor. I'm here for straight up facts. I'm not here to play to anybody's preconceived notions. And I'm beginning to wonder, and I would like your thoughts. Email them to me even after the show. We're running out of time. Bob@headonradio.com. Headonradio.com. I have begun to wonder if perhaps we shouldn't stay. I have begun to wonder if perhaps that is the curse that we have earned. I have almost come to the conclusion that we must remain in Iraq for a year, 10 years, 100 years. We must remain in Iraq to the tune of 5,000 American lives, 10,000 American lives, 100,000 American lives. Because this is a learning experience. It is a learning experience that we bought for ourselves. And maybe the price that we have to pay is that we have to stay in Iraq until such time as we figure out and learn once and for all, because we didn't figure it out in Vietnam, the cost of Republican perfidy, the cost of Republican mendacity, the cost of Republican money lust and blood lust and power lust and all the other disgusting lusts that drive the grand old party. What do you think? Is this a hell that we have earned and that we don't get to leave? That's a tough nut to crack and a harder one to swallow. Let's go to the phones. Jethro. Jethro!
Bob, how's it going?
It's madness, I tell you.
Extreme madness. Yes, the war. But I do have some good news.
Yes, sir.
My master appeared 2 weeks ago.
Your master?
Yes. I now have a guru.
Do you really?
Yes.
All right.
You've read Autobiography of a Yogi, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, I got initiated into Kriya Yoga last Sunday, a week ago.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Swami Vidyavishtananda was in Charleston for 2 weeks, and somehow I got hooked up.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so I got initiated Sunday, spent 10.5 hours sitting on a hardwood floor. Talk about some stiff hips.
You'll be doing some transcending.
Yes, I plan to. But, that's been a dream of mine for over 30 years, and I guess I wasn't ready till last week.
No, it wasn't a dream. It was a vision.
Right.
And you had to wait for the vision to fulfill.
Yes. And that's the most divine personage I've ever experienced in my life. And just being around him was pretty much shattering.
Oh, and it has to be. There aren't that many of those people on this planet, Jethro.
Right. And he's in the United States now, but he spent quite a few years in the Himalayas. So, this is a true person. No doubt about it.
Someone who has figured out a bunch of it.
Yes, I would say quite a bit. Because just amazing, amazing. And he gave several lectures there in Charleston and did some slideshows and stuff. And
send a brother an email once in a while, would you?
I hear you. It was in the Gazette, some of the stuff. He was at the YWCA and stuff. I met Charlotte Pritt. She's amazing.
How's Charlotte doing?
She's great. She is great. And I'd never met her before. And she's just as wonderful as I had always imagined her to be.
She is. What a ride on the Slime Express, the Republican Slime Express she got taken for.
Right. Well, even the Democrats, the good old boys network, they try to...
Oh, I know one dude who was responsible for, I'm a Democrat, but I'm scared to death of Charlotte bumper stickers. I remember it well, Jethro.
But the thing of it is, her background is so clean, they couldn't dig up any dirt on her, so they had to make up a bunch of stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, stuff like, it goes without saying. Yeah, but I'm just glad to know I thought she was in California or something.
No, I think she has her own wellness company here in West Virginia now.
Beautiful.
Yeah, plus she makes her own jewelry and stuff.
Dadgum, I'd like to get her on the program.
Yeah, she's very, very creative, and and she sponsored the program there at the YWCA, and he was at some other places. He was at the Unitarian Church and at this other...
God, I love Unitarians.
Yes. And there was it was great. And big turnouts. He had people, 100, 200 people came to see him. And,
it's wonderful to know that there's that kind of spirituality blossoming. Because one of the things that sort of, I can't speak for anybody else, Jethro, but, I'm assaulted by evil every day. Because I sit here and I read evil.
Yes.
I see, this evil, that evil. I got a story here I haven't gotten to yet about Laura Bush saying that no one suffers more from the death of soldiers than she and George.
Right.
And it just makes you want to put a foot through a window.
They could care less about the troops. no matter what happens in Iraq, the Bushes are profiting, and so is Cheney. Win or lose, you know, we pay the cost, but they're going to go away billionaires. So
that's fine, but don't they have enough? Or do these are they so eaten up in by their glutton souls that they don't know the meaning of the word?
Right. Well, when you ask these right wingers how much is enough, you know, they try to say you're against capitalism and stuff like that. But how much is enough? How much do you need? How much do you take with you?
I mean, is the benchmark if I start spending $1 million a day now, I've got to have $1 million a day for the rest of my. Maybe we could work up and take a collection or something and pay them to go away.
Right.
I mean, look at Paul Wolfowitz at the World Bank, for the love of God.
Yes. Well, we already knew he was a weasel, so that was, and that job was set up for him, and he's does what he always.
Yeah,
does.
he got the job because it was the one job he could be promoted to, without requiring Senate approval.
But they're ready to kick him off now, so hopefully they'll kick the whole lot of them out, and we'll get a little impeachment action going.
I sure would love that. I would love that. You gonna go jump off any rocks into any water this summer?
Sounds good to me. And your son should be old enough now where he's ready to.
I think he is, and I think he'd take the jump.
Cool. Well, the next time we go, we're thinking about maybe weekend after next. You know, if it doesn't rain too much, and I'll definitely get a hold of you.
Well, you know what? You're one of those people that's on the list of if we don't hear from him, we begin to worry.
Well,
don't be such a stranger, all right?
I'll try not to. I just. Still on mission, and now it's accomplished, so, yeah.
I'm so proud for you.
Well, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it, and it's something that, like I said, I've strived and wished for 30 years, and it just fell into place, you know, just like you read a book about, you know, somebody finding their master, how, you know, synchronicities and things like that, just everything fell into place, and, wow.
Yeah, it's when your head just sort of gets exploded from the outside in. I think I know what you're talking about.
Right. And I was shattered. I was reduced to, you know, nothing by him. And
but isn't that where you're going in the first place?
Right.
Isn't that where you started?
Exactly. So yeah, full circle. So,
well, Jethro, my brother, it is awfully, awfully good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you, Bob. I'm glad you're still, fighting the good fight, and Wayne's there with you, and Agnes and everybody, and I'd love to see you, you know, keep expanding.
We're trying.
I'm all for you.
All right. Take care, Jethro.
Okay, you too, Bob, and I'll call you later on this week, okay?
I hope so.
All right, sir.
All right.
Sounds good.
Bye now.
Thanks, Bob.
Our buddy Jethro here in West Virginia, been with us from day one. Like I said, some of you guys, I don't hear from you. I begin to worry about you. I've got a list. And that's it. Thanks, everybody. Agnes produced. Brian Reznor announced. John Fox in Sydney, Australia engineered. The hero of liberal talk radio, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, maintains the streams, the podcasts, and the archives of everything that happens on the Horn. He is still trying to raise money. Make it happen if you value what happens here. We have amazing moderators in the chat room. If you've never been by the chat room, go. Our news ninjas are among the most dedicated the web personnel in the world, and they maintain the world's most exclusive email list. Liza, go to bed. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show, coming to you from the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, and all around the country and around the world, for that matter. Glad to have each and every one of you along with us this afternoon. Hello to all you folks over at the Head On Radio Network, the iTunes folks, Democrats.com, DemocraticUnderground.com, Smirking Chimp. Some of these days we're going to have to list all those folks, all the websites where people listen. There's a pretty good number of them, and we're glad to have every single one of them along with us. How are you doing today? How have you been? Lots of news to talk about, many, many things to talk about today. We're going to have a great guest with us, somebody that many of you may not know, but I guarantee you, you'll be interested in her story. A lady by the name of Jane Stillwater. Jane's been a cyber friend of mine for a long time, and she's a writer, reporter, and recently returned from Baghdad, so she'll have some great stories to tell us, some human interest stories of her time there inside the Green Zone and outside as well. So look forward to that coming up around the bottom of the hour. We'll look forward to having Jane Stillwater on. You can check out jpstillwater.blogspot.com. She'll have some of her items on there, and we'll talk to her about that coming up in a little bit. Just talking to a friend a while ago about traveling. This at that time of year when people are grabbing the family. I had the neighbors here the other day had to take their grandkids to Disney World and had such a good time. We're not that far away from Disney World here, so it's a local trip.